The following podcast contains mature language and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Joe Fix It
and Sports Science.
Diablo Frank.
And today we're going to talk about
Sports
Science.
Yeah, because I'm sure it's not picking up all this ambient noise you've got going on here.
That is Thor in the background.
You're showing up. Ambient noise.
Oh, we got to record that for Fryhole. So whenever we have him on show, you hear thunder and then.
I think he could find a lightning and thunder sound effect.
Why would we get it live outside?
We'd have 100% of the copyright of that particular bit of thunder.
Yeah. He owns that lightning sound. Alright, so we're going to throw an episode on, or what are we going to do?
First things first. You wanted to talk about a whole bunch of shit, Mr. Fix-It, so talk about a whole bunch of shit.
Okay, like what kind of shit?
Herb Trip.
R.I.P.
Herb Trip.
How did he die anyway?
Hard, I think.
Right. Man, lose it at the last minute like that.
You know, he was still doing cons up to the last, days.
Yeah, so didn't we see him at...
He was at Amazing Con. I didn't get to go to Amazing Con last year.
I think I went to Amazing Con last year.
You did, because you told me how awful it was.
Oh, okay. Oh, the little shitty one.
Yeah.
I thought I saw him. That was the one when I sent you a picture of Rob Layfield. We were going to prank him. Remember?
Yeah.
Start yelling at him or something?
No.
Yeah.
So did you get to meet the guy? Or you just look at him from afar?
Rob Layfield?
No,
yeah, sure. No, I didn't get to meet him. Rob Layfield actually had a line. He actually had a line.
Yeah, he had a line when he went to Comic Blue years ago, too.
No, when we saw, remember he was sitting there whenever he had that art done by, what's his name?
Well, Michaels?
Ethan Van Cypher.
No, Cypher, yeah, remember? Layfield was right next to him. Nobody was at his table.
And that is not true.
Yes.
No, that is not true. He was busy.
Dude, he was showing people his artwork. I remember because I looked.
Yeah, because the guy came
he
up.
He still
was like,
can't
hey,
draw feet.
Some guy came up and was like, "Hey, Rob, you looked at my artwork for me." He's never shown his artwork to Rob.
But dude, there was not a line of people there. Because I remember I sat there and actually looked at his artwork and go, "Wow, he still can't draw feet." This weekend, I got Hulu Plus, and I felt that, we are the Marvel superhero podcast, but there are other things besides Marvel out there, so
at some point, we will have an occasional satellite DC podcast, but we got too many irons in the fire right now as it is. I don't even try to add to it, so we can do a little DC talk on here.
Okay. I watched some Gotham. I watched some Flash, Constantine, Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I believe that was it. I kind of had, this nice little mashup of everything. And as I'm watching it, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was actually really enjoying because they hint at a lot of the movies.
You said you started at episode 12?
Yeah, because, I just got Hulu Plus, so you don't get the first, part of the season. As episodes come in, you drop episodes, so I was fine. But I still understood enough of the show from that episode because they do enough, recaps at the beginning of the show. You get an understanding of what came ahead of it. So the story... I mean, it's not really deep. So I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm watching it. I'm enjoying it. I'm definitely going to rewatch the season because I want to catch the first half.
You're still bummed about missing Absorbing Man, though.
Yeah. But like I said, it'll pop up on Netflix probably in a few months. So I'll watch it then.
Oh, wait. Is Mockingbird, this is just my question.
That's Mockingbird. It's Mockingbird.
I don't know if it's the comic book Mockingbird, but I think that Mockingbird is the best thing in the show right now.
Her name is Bobby. She uses fucking, I think they're staff.
No, she's intended to be Mockingbird. What I'm saying is, to me, she's the best part of the show. I'm actually really resenting how much time has been spent on Melinda May lately, because everything that they used to give to Melinda May, I want them to give to Mockingbird, because I like that character so much better than I like.
I think she's interesting. I'm actually liking the whole Inhuman stuff.
And I'm totally turned off to the Inhuman stuff.
Really?
It doesn't do anything for me.
I like it because they can't use mutants.
Well, because it's all about Sky, and I hate Sky still.
Right?
I don't hate her as much, but I still hate her.
I just like the concept of the Inhumans, this hidden civilization that is linked to the Kree. And, of course, they do the whole thing where the Kree came and they experimented on the humans, Kree, fucking dinosaur, I guess. So it's pretty cool. I'm liking that. What I've seen so far is, I think Marvel so far got it right because you can watch it, and they, you know, I think I saw the episode where a Thor character popped up. I can't remember.
Sif.
Was it Sif? Yeah, she popped up. And then, of course, they that leads to the Kree warrior who had a tiny little hammer instead of the
trying to, like, play off a Ronin.
Yeah, but it's like a little Ronin hammer. But I was kind of like, this is kind of cool because you're watching. You don't have to watch the movies. You can watch the show and still kind of get linked to the movies. Where I watched the DC shows, and like I told you earlier, the only thing that bothered me was it felt so fractured. Like, it was multiple universes, and it was just, like, Gotham felt one way, Flash felt another way, Arrow was similar, like, Arrow and Flash were pretty similar, because I know they linked up, and then, of course, Constantine was, like, complete opposite of that, and I was just kind of like,
How were they, like, what Constantine... I know they sold a Constantine here. I finally learned to say Constantine.
Is
like
it Constantine?
His creator, Alan Moore, and apparently all the English people were Constantine. We Americanized it here to Constantine, and I think the show calls him Constantine as well, correct?
Believe so. Well, they call him John a lot.
Okay. So you read the Vertigo comics.
Yes.
Is it a Vertigo TV series, or is it the New 52 Constantine?
New 52.
Okay.
Well,
so it's more,
like
more mainstream
then. Yeah, it's more PG-13, so... They do some kind of fucked up stuff, but like they don't push the envelope with it. Like if they had put it on A&E, I think it would have been a really good show. They really could have got, you know, dove deep into the Garth Ennis run and all those really dark fucked up runs. But it's PG-13, so it's not bad. It was enjoyable for what it is. Gotham, I thought it was okay. I think it is way too overhyped. Like I was watching it.
Well, it's Batman. Everything Batman is overhyped.
I like Batman. I'm a Batman fan, but I was just like, he's a kid. Everyone are kids, and I was like,
Gotham babies.
Yeah, it was like.
Well, my thing is, they can't win because you know where it ends up. It's still going to be a terrible, corrupt city by the end of the series because Batman's going to have to come in here and try to fix it. You're going to see all these prototype versions of supervillains that won't turn up for years. So everything's preamble.
Yeah.
You get no sense of closure with anything with the Gotham.
Well,
and you know that going in, you're not going to get any kind of closure.
All I kept thinking was Kevin Smith had done a podcast on this show already of that TV show. So I was kind of like, wow, it was okay. I enjoyed Arrow. I still think Arrow is probably the better of the shows. Flash.
I watched a little bit of Arrow because I caught
Arrow, though.
I want to watch it for the Atom, but I'm already seeing that they ruined the Atom from what I've seen, where they turned him into Iron Man essentially.
Oh, really?
That's what it looks like to me.
I thought he looked like the Exo Man suit.
You're right. It does look like Exo. But when he's flying through the city with rocket power and stuff, it's like, that's nothing like the Atom at all. That has nothing to do with the Atom.
That's where you gotta wonder.
And everybody knows that they just took Blue Beetle, who they've been building up for previous seasons, had been building up for numerous seasons, and turned him into the Atom at the last minute because the Blue Beetle show, they're trying to do a Blue Beetle show as well. So
are you saying that DC created their own Iron Man?
I haven't watched it. I started watching it, and then I saw what they were doing with the Atom, and now I'm having a lot of trouble getting excited about trying to watch any more of that show.
Because, like, the Flash, I thought the cool thing about the Flash is they do a lot of Easter eggs and reverse Flash and stuff like that. And I was like, this is kind of cool.
What do you think about Firestorm?
I didn't get any of those episodes. I only got in about 3 episodes in.
Okay, so now you said, is this on Hulu Plus?
Yeah, Hulu Plus.
But are you having to watch the newer episodes instead of the older ones?
Yeah, newer ones.
But there haven't been any Firestorm stuff in the newer ones?
Not that I've seen so far. The last one I saw was they were doing the Reverse Flash episode. I saw that one, and then I saw the one after that.
Oh, wait. Yeah, okay.
Because this one where the Reverse Flash and him are fighting, and then apparently the Reverse Flash has some kind of technology on him where he's from the future, and because he fought the Flash, it's drained, so now he can't go back. And I was kind of like, that's kind of cool. But then, you know, I have to watch a few more episodes to really pass some kind of judgment on it, which I didn't watch enough, I feel, to really pass any kind of judgment on it. It was enjoyable. I would watch it, but, you know, it's just like I said, it felt fractured. I would have really liked DC shows if they were all just a little bit linked. Would be kind of a cool concept. Like they have, you know, their own little universe. It just felt like different universes, and I don't know.
Yeah. What's your favorite of the ones you watched, though, of the DC shows, I mean?
I would have to, before I would say which of my favorite, I would need to watch a complete season of the show. I hate people that make that snap judgment of like 3-4 episodes in. Oh, it sucks. I'm like, I don't know, cause I mean, I need to watch a whole season to see how they play out the character, how they flesh out the character, how they set up stuff, where I can be like, okay, that's a cool idea, or that's just really shitty, like really bad writing, real lazy writing. So I don't want to base any of the only problem I had was it felt fractured. But as far as the episodes, I thought they were all pretty good. I mean, I would watch them if they're on Netflix, and I could, you know, I don't know if I'd binge watch them, but I'd watch them.
Find Arthur Curry fast. Is Atlantis everything you dreamed of, brother?
He needs a code name.
Well, online they're calling him Aquaman.
Hate that.
Aquaman it is.
And what about the cartoons?
The animated movies are?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like all of them, but like
when I just watched the Aquaman one. That was like three shades of fucked up. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. Because one minute it's like Mira's like killing fish people and turning water into swords and...
Are the fish people the guys from the trench?
Yeah. Okay. And Arthur's kind of a pussy, whiny, kind of very... he's just kind of pussy, yeah. He's just whiny and... Like his mom dies, and of course Black Manta is Ocean Master?
Yeah, well, Ocean Master is supposed to be in it. You say
Black Manta is working with Ocean Master. Okay. He's actually kind of manipulating him. And it's weird because they go from kind of your typical DC animated movie to kind of like hyper violent, like cutting people, and
they curse in that too, don't they?
A couple of times they drop some curse words. The Justice League came off kind of weak. I mean, when they're getting their asses handed to them by a bunch of fish. So I was kind of surprised by that. Of course, you know, we all know Soup's weak against magic. So I guess Atlantean technology is based on magic. And then, of course, when they attack the surface, and that was weird too, because they show like the Atlanteans killing American soldiers. They're pulling out, you know, you'll see a soldier dead with a spear in them. And it was, I mean, that's where it was kind of weird, because it'd go dark and kind of, I don't know, it was different. It wasn't horrible, but yeah, it's better than some of the other DC ones. By the way, I own it too.
Yeah. Was there anything else related to the DC stuff that we needed to talk about?
Tell me, do you bleed? You will.
Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice teaser trailer.
Yeah. Did that come out?
Well, you found the leaked version, so I watched the one that you found first, and then Warner Brothers went and released,
yeah, they released
the actual
HD
version.
Yeah. Was it one of those instances where DC had to, like, or Warner Brothers
had to? They didn't have to. They were going to release it on Monday anyway, and
I thought it was going to be released in the theaters.
No, they were going to release it online on Monday. Uh-huh. That was the big thing. And it was funny to me because they announced that was going to happen, and then somebody leaked the Dawn of Justice and
Brazil,
right? And but at the same time, the Star Wars trailer broke, and everybody was concerned about that. They didn't really give a shit about the Batman vs Superman anyway.
Oh, I guess you go 50-50 on it.
Oh, wait, what? Between interest between Star Wars and Dawn of Justice?
No,
your fucking mind.
That's true. There are more wars in the world.
I just want to say I like how the Superman logo was subsumed by the Batman one.
Yeah.
All the color was bled out of it, and it just became a big Batman with some indication that Superman might be involved with it. I think that's very telling.
I got to admit, I like that they're going dark with it. I like that they're going dark.
Going dark? Does it mean staying dark?
Yeah, they're just staying dark.
It seems like this is going to be a darker movie. When you have False God across the statue like that, like that's...
My problem is, I want to have...
That's 1980s, like, kind of Superman-Batman storytelling.
But my problem is this movie is like the Empire, supposedly. It's in the Empire position. But we never got a Star Wars. We got a slightly lighter Empire, and now we're doing Empire again. I need to have an opportunity to see Superman be this praised character, this grand heroic figure. Yeah. Where all the previous movie, he was a goddamn X-Men mutant who was hated and feared by the military and the public at large. So I'm not seeing a contrast between how he was treated in Man of Steel
this movie. Yeah, we need that Messiah episode. Or movie.
By the way, was that Count Dracula in the voice I heard in the trailer there?
Yeah, it did sound like him.
So we got, I think that
I'm
was.
I'm so sorry about that, man, but you sound like him so fucking much.
So it's the Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor. We've got Holly Hunt's character, who's apparently going to be some sort of demagogue. Somebody was saying they thought Neil deGrasse Tyson was in there.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie Rose, I thought I heard too.
Okay.
So we know Wonder Woman's going to pop up. Namor's going to pop up.
Namor's going to pop up, yes.
Definitely Namor the Submariner is going to do this movie.
the truly cool Aqua character. So we got Wonder Woman, Namor.
Laying it on too thin.
That's what everything's for.
And let's see who else. So are there going to be any other special, like any hint?
We don't really know who all is going to turn up in this one. They might get Cyborg in there somewhere. But
Martian Manhunter, maybe?
I don't think so. Actually, you know what? I've been hearing some stuff that might indicate that Supergirl's TV show on CBS in this upcoming season might actually involve some Martian stuff.
Really?
So, and I'd be very interested in that because I actually like Supergirl a lot and I would enjoy watching a Supergirl television
series. But is it going to be the Supergirl Power Girl clone or?
It should be Kara Zor-El from the planet Krypton, is my understanding. Yeah.
Because I was kind of, I liked where the JLA series did that. Power Girl was, you know, a clone of Supergirl.
Yeah, yeah, that was okay. Well, that wasn't actually, although it strongly resembled Power Girl, she actually did have a different name.
Did
her
she?
Costume was a little bit different. So they made a distinction there for the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't really supposed to be Power Girl. Although it was obviously alluded to. I don't think Power Girl actually appeared in the show, did she?
I thought that was Power Girl, dude. Okay. Like, yeah, cause I remember watching that. I mean, you definitely had, whenever they fight the clones, you had the Wonder Twins. Those were definitely the Wonder Twins. You had,
I like the ones where they brought
in the American
friends.
Indian one.
Apache Chief. I love that. I thought that was really great. I enjoyed them bringing those.
And then, of course, he was the one that actually had a heart.
But see, my understanding is, for some reason, they couldn't use the actual characters from Super Friends. They had to rename them all with new costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
So you could just allude to it. And I don't understand why DC hasn't bought those guys up by now.
I just thought it was great. I remember watching
it. Was
it.
Cool, yeah.
I remember watching the thing and, dude, that's so cool. Super Friends, like, they're here. They're updated. They're kind of cool. And then they turn out to be villains. I'm like, that's even cooler.
Well, they were
not even villains.
They're anti-heroes, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah. I mean, you felt for them when you find out they're clones and they're going to die. Like,
yeah.
They have a shelf.
It turns out they're Strike Force mortuary instead.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
My name is Amanda Waller. I have an offer for you. A way to work off your sentence. As it turns out, I have need of someone with your singular qualifications. A squad.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, hold on.
We haven't even talked about the trailer yet.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? One more.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to talk about the Suicide Squad stuff, that picture, but okay.
What? Oh, the picture of the cast together hanging out? Okay.
I look at them and I think of the characters and I'm just like, I want to see my costumes. Like, I really.
Yeah.
Hey, so Will Smith's probably going to overact and ruin that movie, right?
I don't know yet. I honestly, it seems
he's the Deadshot, right?
Yeah, he's going to play Deadshot. Cause my whole thing is what I liked about Floyd Lawson, the character, is the big hook was he had a death wish. The reason why he was on a Suicide Squad was because he wanted to die and he keeps throwing himself in situations where he could die and then he doesn't because he's too damn good at his job. I'm wondering if Will Smith is going to bring that level of darkness to it, if they're going to actually evoke that at all, or if he's just going to be a badass with guns on his wrist.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he absolutely is. So he's got, what, Deadshot, Joker.
Yeah, I've seen Jared Leto's slow transformation to Joker as well. And Jared Leto is such a Joker-y actor that should be great. I think that's going to be perfectly fine. That is so his thing. They're playing characters like a Joker, going big like that. That's totally in his wheelhouse.
Okay. And what other characters are popping up?
You got Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. I think they think that somebody's going to play the El Diablo character. Don't they have a Captain Boomerang? They've got the guy who's playing Rick Flag. It was going to be Jai Courtney. I think now it's the guy who played Kinnaman from RoboCop is going to be playing Rick Flag. It doesn't matter. That's a super vanilla character, so we don't give a shit about that one. I don't remember all the people they're supposed to have in that movie. That's one of those where that's a great little sleeper movie. Because I have no expectations of it. I have no current plans to see it, but I have no great investment to such a degree that it would turn me off of them making that movie. If they make changes, I can deal with it. It doesn't impact on me very much. Mm-hmm. So if it comes out and it looks good, I'll see it. If it doesn't, then I won't. Real simple.
And Mac was correct. We really didn't talk about the trailer.
Yeah. Here's my problem. When I'm watching this movie, what I'm remembering is Zack Snyder's Watchmen. And I remember how freaking hyped I was after Watchmen. That trailer came out with the Smashing Pumpkins song and everything else. And there wasn't much more to that trailer than this trailer. There's actually probably more here with the Batwing flying around and blowing shit up and everything. But instead of feeling excited when I'm watching this, it's like they've announced a bunch of people that I really like Jenna Malone's going to be in the movie. And just like there's a lot of stuff that makes me think, well, let me wait and see about it. And I watch that trailer and it just reminds me of all the reasons why I didn't want to see this movie in the first place. It makes me angry. And I don't know if this is the intention, but when I look at Batman, when I look at Ben Affleck, he's on the downside of his Batman career. He's graying, and I'm looking at him. I'm not seeing him having like any righteous indignation or concern about Superman. I see envy on his face. I see envy. I see anger at being, you know, like Superman's supposed to be the new kid in town. And, that's not what I'm supposed to be feeling, I don't think. But I feel like Batman's envious of Superman and he's gonna go beat the fuck out of Superman because he's tired of making Batman look bad. That's what I get from that trailer. I'm supposed to be getting what a threat Superman could be and how there's a legitimate concern there, but it just seems like he's big dick. He wants to swing his big dick around and show that he's, you know, he's still better than Superman.
This looks like a Batman movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a Batman movie.
Well, I will say I like that shot of Superman holding up the space capsule thing. Because he's got that big rubber suit, and you know, one of the things with the Marvel movies, because they're so practical, they try to get away from the heavy anatomy. You don't really see the characters like they're in skin tight costumes. But here, the Superman, he looks like they've gotten more of a sense of him being basically a naked flying guy. And I think that works because he looks so powerful when he's lifting that heavy weight. He looks like, holy shit, this is a guy who's so strong, he really could beat the fuck out of all the other superheroes. And I like that he's so, in that shot, at least that one shot, he's so unambiguously the superhero. He's not an Asgardian warrior. He's not a super soldier. He's the fucking superhero. And I see Ben Affleck in that garbage latex suit of his, where he's so swollen, he looks like he's a square.
He does.
No, I'm not talking about the last shot. I'm talking about those other shots in the middle. He's so fake bulked up, because I know Ben Affleck put on some weight and put on some muscle, and good for him, but the suit is so much bigger than he really is. That I'm thinking is he looks square, even though he's supposed to be a tall guy, and he looks really fake to me.
There's a lot of CGI. Like, obviously.
You think that, like, he himself is CGI?
He looked CGI when he was walking out of whatever the...
He does kind of look like a cutscene from Gods and... What is that, DC and Injustice? What is that fucking...
Arkham.
Justice, right? Justice, something about gods.
Yeah.
Whoever all the DC heroes are assholes.
That
doesn't narrow it down very much.
I think it looks like it's a Batman movie that looks really, really dark, and Superman will probably end up sort of semi being the villain, and Superman's gonna look like shit.
But this movie, they're gonna be friends at the end.
They spend a lot of time on that Superman statue, though. They're talking about Superman throughout.
I like that scene where he's in the hall, that it looks like a hallway, and those soldiers literally bow to him. I'm like,
yeah.
I like the fact that they're playing up the Messiah complex, which if you really remember reading the Frank Miller Return of the Dark Knight, Superman was kind of a Messiah, Reagan-esque.
He was the
character.
Big government tool, the face.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. I liked it. I like the fact that they're going to see him in that way, and it's almost going to have to knock him down a peg.
Yeah, and I don't see that he's gotten... I don't have a reason to root against Superman at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really like the movies. My issue is that they're pretentious, but they don't have the textual weight to pull off those pretensions. They're trying to do this whole, oh, he's a false god. It's like, they haven't built him up as being a false god yet. Just because you scroll that on a statue, you haven't sold
that
aspect
to me yet.
Maybe the
first half of the movie, like, I'm pretty sure Zack Snyder movie is going to be like 2.5 hours long, and then the uncut version is like 2, 3, 4, 5 hours long, and
mm-hmm.
It's going to be ridiculously long. Do you think they're going to have like maybe the first 25 minutes of the movie is just literally him doing all these amazing things?
No, because I think
like,
the Warner Bros.
Short of turning
cut
water
it so they
wine.
Get the action scenes as quickly as possible.
You think so?
And they'll cut out as much of that shit as possible, and it'll be a montage. As a matter of fact, it might be the best part of the movie, just like with Watchmen, where the credit montage is them showing all this shit, where Superman's being elevated to a godlike status amongst the citizenry, and then it credits in, and boom, here's Batman in your face! I think that might be what we'd end up with.
Like I said, this didn't tickle my fancy. I think it looks way too dark, man. And I know that's like, seems to be like the common complaint, is it was, oh, this is gonna be super dark. It looks like it's gonna be fucking crazy dark. Like, crazy dark. So, like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get into either of these characters if all they're going to do is just fucking...
Grimace.
Run, run, run. Oh, I'm a god, and people hate me now, and I don't want to be a god. No, now you're a god, and I don't like you because you're a god. Now let's be all mad.
So is Lex Luthor the villain in the movie?
I guess. I mean, beyond that, I guess. I think that he's going to be involved in pitting Batman against Superman.
Okay.
And then I guess at some point maybe they're going to have to stop him from doing something wrong. But I don't think...
It's not going
to
be a real estate deal.
It's not going to pop up in the third act, I don't think, or anything like that. No.
It's going to be like a real estate deal or some bullshit.
I hope they don't try that
Superman
shit
Returns. I still think that's like...
Well, I think somebody was saying that it looks like he probably stole the... Wasn't there some fucking thing where Lex Luthor stole the sun or some shit like that?
Okay. No, he created a monster from the sun, if I remember... The last Superman 6.
Did he come up with Solaris? Is he
involved
with that? Okay.
What about that? where Superman threw all the nukes into the sun and Lex.
I don't remember if I ever read all of All-Star Superman. I think I started.
No, I'm talking about the movies,
four.
Dude.
You're talking about Superman 4.
The actual movies. Yeah, was it 4?
Oh, you're talking about the nuclear man.
Yeah.
Or something.
But he was clear to the sun.
Firestorm with the nails? Is that what you're talking about?
No, Firestorm was a villain from the fourth Superman.
I thought it was
like a gag.
I thought he was like nuclear.
You said he was the nuclear.
He's like nuclear man or something like that. But he's not Firestorm. He's just a nuclear man.
And he's all powerful from the sun. And then when you put him in the shade, he's like, ugh.
Right. And he scratches people like a little bitch.
Yeah.
And he had a slap fight with Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Yeesh. And Gene Hackman returning as Lex Luthor, an evil genius who can't pronounce the word nuclear.
Nuclear power.
Nuclear strategist. Nuclear bomb. Nuclear warhead.
Nuclear man.
I always thought he looked like, was it Supreme?
I can kind of see Supreme in that, yeah. I like Supreme. That was actually a pretty cool book. We had to cover that some.
Yeah, but that was like the Superman they're trying to pull off. Would you say that? This Masonic.
Yeah, Masonic.
I mean, what do you call it?
Messianic.
Messianic, my bad. Messianic.
And it could be Masonic, too. It's a bunch of Illuminati shit they seem to be dredging up for this as well. All this fear and expectation of a conspiracy, and he's. You know, he's the foreman for an invading army and all this kind of bullshit.
That's
what they were just saying in the trailer. You have to watch the trailer a few times to listen to and isolate.
I think the first few, this is only the third time or fourth time I've seen it. And I'm still kind of I'm visually taking it in and I'm catching. This time around, I caught more of the dialogue. Like, I didn't realize that was, I guess that was Alfred talking about the fever.
I guess, I don't know.
That felt like Alfred. That felt like a
fever.
Alfred.
Is that a thing in the comics?
Oh, he's like, that's how the fever starts.
I know the cowboy bell may be in order. I don't know.
He's got a prescription.
Yeah.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Is Christopher Walken in this movie? He's like the only guy who's not in this movie, it seems like.
They're rehashing Catwoman.
They brought everybody and they put him in this movie. I don't know if you can fit everybody in 3 hours.
Like, okay, let's just say, let's just talk about this real quick. I'm just curious. Your prediction. Avengers 2, Star Wars. I know you don't want to talk about Star Wars, but we have to throw it up because it's going to be one of the big movies.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman.
Well, Batman versus Superman is in 2016.
Okay.
So it's not for
nerdom. This is like our time right there.
Those are
the three big for nerdom. There's nothing else. No one cares. No one cares about Ant-Man. God bless that finally they ended up goddamn Hobbit movies. So we'll never have to see another one come out again.
Harry Potter's over with.
No, yeah. It's not. Harry Potter's coming back.
No more Twilight.
Yeah, thank God. Like all that crap. Well, that's not even nerdom.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, well, the second coming of Twilight is Hunger Games. And the third coming is... Insert what Divergent, so there will always be another YA thing.
You're right,
yeah. And as far as and Harry Potter's coming back because they're going to create new stories.
Some monsters.
The guy, the monsters, whatever that shit is. Yeah,
but I'm saying for nerdom, the three big are Avengers 2, Star Wars, Batman versus Superman.
Well, I don't know. They got to have a trick in there somewhere for it to be a true wet dream for all the nerds. But Star Wars, I think, probably is going to be the biggest thing.
That's hands on the beast. Like, that's going to be.
Well, the problem with Star Wars, though, is it's going to get released at Christmas time. So that means while it'll make a lot of money, some of that money's probably going to be in 2016. So that'll diminish how much it makes in a competition, like, for the year. You know, at the end of the year, I think Age of Ultron is probably going to end up being the big winner. Money wise,
I think it's going to hit a billion faster than Fast Furious 7. That god awful movie.
Which one?
One last ride.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Now we talk.
Yeah.
I think Avengers and Star Wars will both get to a billion before. They'll both break whatever record Fast and Furious 7.
By the way, if you haven't seen Furious 7 yet, don't. It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And the reason why I made all that money besides the fever over Paul Walker is because the last few Fast and Furious movies were really good. That's the reason why I saw it, because I really enjoyed 5 and 6.
Yeah, me too.
And I really was expecting more Lucas Black, and I only got one scene of Lucas Black that kind of ticked me off. So...
That's creepy.
I like Tokyo Drift. I'm the one Tokyo Drift.
No, I like Tokyo Drift too.
The only other one I saw in the theater was Tokyo Drift.
I like the fact that they kind of hark back to that for that one little scene. I thought that was kind of cool that they're kind of bringing all the movies together. But literally, after watching this, Vin Diesel has to turn into a Transformer. That's all that's left after how bad this fucking movie is. Vin Diesel has to turn into a car and drive off. That's all that's left. I mean, they're fighting kung fu cars and all that bullshit.
Toretto!
Fucking rises. And he just rolls out. He takes off. That's all that's left, dude. That is all fucking left for these goddamn movies. And they're going to make 10 of them. That's horrible. But back to what you're saying. Of course, Star Wars will be a beast. That's
well, I don't think anybody has been caught on camera sobbing at the thought of either Age of Ultron or Batman vs. Superman.
True.
People are apparently sobbing over Han Solo.
I watched that damn show and they did, when Han popped up, it says, Chewie, we're home. And they show those chicks like crying, like I told you, you know.
So, okay,
someone had just crucified Jesus, and they're freaking out.
Now let's pause and watch that trailer.
Okay, please stay tuned.
Okay, you heard that Marvel has taken back the Star Wars license, right?
No. Tell me more.
Okay, Dark Horse had it for like 20-some-odd years, helped keep it alive, and now that Disney owns it, they're like, fuck you, ganked it back, and they're putting some pretty big names on the Star Wars properties, but I don't have any cares for Star Wars anymore. Do you?
No. Okay. I mean, not even for the movie. I mean, I guess I'll go see the movies, but I don't think I've ever read a single Star Wars comic book. Like, I don't know. I just never was into seeing
the expanded universe of that.
Princess Leia. I don't need a Princess Leia miniseries. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. I never got that.
Well, I think you were a little too young, too, because Mr. Fixit and I grew up with those movies hitting the movie theater and at a time when there was nothing else like Star Wars. And what's worse is we also saw a whole bunch of stuff that came out in its wake that wasn't half the movie that Star Wars was, but that created that strong interest for us. And then by the time, you know, you started seeing the movies, they were oldies, and there was a lot of other good stuff that had come out. They'd finally had movies up their game enough to match Star Wars to some degree. And then, of course, we all saw the prequels together, and that was a harrowing experience.
Unfortunate.
Because of the prequels, and just because I've gotten tired of Star Wars fans to some degree, especially when I was at the shop, I had a lot of people that were just had a religious zeal for those movies, burned me out on the properties, all those characters. I've heard some interesting stuff about the new movies, but I'm not going to be excited until I see some footage that motivates me to check that stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the wow of those movies was the special effects, and I mean, I just left Planet of the Apes, and the effects were just amazing in that movie. They were terrific, especially for so much CGI being the focal point of the film. I mean,
well, none of those apes were real, right? They were all CGI, weren't they?
I believe so, but you couldn't. I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you for sure. Whereas normally, I would say yes, for sure. That is 100%.
Yeah, it makes me flash back to like Van Helsing, where there wasn't a single scene of that movie that you couldn't tell was CGI. And now you've got these real environments or very real looking environments. If the environments were fake, I'm totally blown away by that movie. But all those armies of apes had to be CGI, or the majority at least, and completely realistic, completely bought into. It completely immersed in that world. The bar is so high now.
Yeah, it's just not. You know, I remember the prequels were supposed to be that. I remember they were like, oh my gosh, they spent all. And I never saw anything in those prequels that was jaw dropping.
No, it was still fairly vague. I don't think the technology was there yet, even at that point. And they just were too reliant on sets and CGI. Everybody looked like they were on a stage interacting with video game aspects.
Yeah. So I don't know how much, you know, these new movies are, I don't know how amped up I'm going to get for them. I'll go see them, but well, maybe. I might go see them.
Storytelling-wise, the bar is now very low.
Chewie, we're home.
I just don't care.
I think it's a really good trailer.
I totally see where people get excited. I don't care anymore. But I totally see why people would.
But you've been kind of anti Star Wars for a while.
I just don't care anymore. Yeah, but I totally get, as far as comparative little trailers, that's a great trailer. The other one, not so much. That's a pretty awesome trailer. It totally played with my emotions.
Check that one out. No, we're not watching any more of your shit. It comes out in like less than a month. We're not going to watch any more of your shit.
Well, I honestly, when I heard about the movie, wasn't excited.
Me neither.
I really wasn't excited until I saw this. This trailer got me.
I sent you a text that said this.
Yeah. You sent me a text saying you were a little hard.
Yeah. It got me partially erect. From a trailer.
I'm fucking full on, dude.
I'm not full on.
Oh, I'm full on, dude.
Like that Crash Star Destroyer. I'm like, wow, this is. Feels like it's going to be a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Well, everything looks like the Star Wars universe. It's not like
the fact that Vader's helmet mask.
Hey, talk to your microphone also, though.
Vader's helmet slash mask
the melted thing.
Skull, yeah. Dude, that's like, oh, dude, that was great.
So did they like fish that out of the Vader BQ, you know, on Endor? Is that, I guess, where it came from?
The thing I heard is apparently there's one of the characters in the movie is a...
Hey, everybody. We're about to leave a bunch of fucking Star Wars spoilers because Mr. Fix is on the podcast. So go ahead and turn it off if you don't want to listen anymore. All right, dude, go ahead and spoil this shit for everybody.
Dude, they talked about if you're into Star Wars and you watch the fucking Celebration, they just hinted at some characters like a Sith Lord artifact seeker. And that's it. And that's his thing. Like, he seeks out these artifacts. And apparently Vader, I guess his body is a Sith Lord.
He's
artifact.
A Sith Lord artifact. That's a big
He's like Riley Keough or something.
Yeah, so, you know, so that's about all I can watch from the Celebration because it's just really weird. Like, I enjoy the movies, I enjoy the cartoons, but I just can't get into it.
What I get here though is J.J. Abrams did those Star Trek movies and he did the sexy Star Wars up Star Trek movies. And I'm watching this, and it's like, wow, that looks like something Lucas would have done back in the 70s and 80s. It looks like,
you think so?
It looks like the classic Star Wars movies, but that's just it. It has such a fidelity to the look, to the tone of those films that it's practically pornographic. It fetishizes that material. So the people who love that material are probably going to love the shit out of that movie because a guy who feels just like they feel is making the damn thing.
I think
whether it's good or not.
I think it's going to be better than Lucas.
No, it could very well be good. I think that he's going to give people what they want. As a Star Trek guy, I didn't really get what I wanted from the Star Trek movies.
Really? I enjoyed those quite a bit.
They're okay.
No,
they're not Star Trek.
They're good action movies.
They're
lots of Star Trek movies.
Are you talking about Star Trek or Generations? Because I know y'all are weird about that shit. Like, I like Generations more than the original Star Trek.
You mean the Next Generation? Max's favorite is the Next Generation.
Next Generation was better than the original Star Wars. There's a reason why the original Star Wars ended up being canceled in 2 or 3 years. The Generation Star Wars, Star Trek.
I was gonna say,
Jesus Christ, we're talking about.
Yeah, not the Generation movie. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about like in terms of story and characters. Next Generation, I enjoyed that more. Now for the Star Trek.
Well, here's the thing though. If you like the original Trek. Next Generation didn't look like the original Trek. It did a lot of the same type of stuff, probably for similar budgets, but they made a point of making it more modern and more sort of realistic.
So what
they didn't have the bright primary colors of the 1960s stuff. The thing is that Star Trek had evolved through the movies as well. They didn't look the same throughout those movies. That's part of what Star Trek is about, is that progression, where Star Wars is more of a fantasy, and it's more about getting that exact same look and feel as the original movies, which is why I think some people hate the second trilogy. Because none of the characters they love are in there. The look of the movies is different. And then you look at that, and this guy's clearly slavishly tried to recreate what those movies were like, seeing them in the 70s and 80s. So if you're a fan of that stuff, you're going to get what you want from this movie, most likely, because he's giving you exactly the same thing.
Some of those shots were just fantastic. I mean, the Millennium Falcon flying through the port engine of the destroyer. I mean, that's just, I remember you and I, we went to go see, Serenity. And at the very end of Serenity.
You and I did not see Serenity. I saw Serenity at a dollar show after it had already almost completed its theatrical run. You saw that with somebody else, man.
But we talked about it. Okay, bro. I remember you and I talked about it. And we talked about how at the end of Serenity, they had that great battle between the Alliance and, what the crazy batshit people?
Oh, the Ravagers.
And you
Reavers.
And I remember you said the exact words you told me was that's what Star Wars lacked. That kind of battle. And it was a short fucking battle. But it was intense, you were invested in it. Oh yeah. I mean, just you see these two giant armies come at each other, and then all of a sudden the Reavers go nuts and are connecting ships and spinning out of control. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, you know, the Firefly or the Serenity's flying through it all. And I remember saying that, and when you said that to me, I was like, you know what? When I think about all the Star Wars movies that I've watched, the prequels sucked because they made no sense. It felt more of a money grab. And of course, Empire was good because Empire had that scene. You had the rebels, and you had the AT-AT walkers. And you had that small battle, not as good as in the movie Serenity, but you had that feel to it. And that's where I think the Star Wars guys, people that I hang out with, when we talk about Star Wars, they talk about Empire. That's the one they love. That's the one they like. And I think you're hitting it right there on the spot, I guess, where he's gonna recreate that, but just better. Like, it's just gonna look sleeker. It's going to have lots of that one scene over and over and over.
Well, I mean, no, it's not just going to be one scene, though. That's the thing. I think he's going to do, it's about fidelity. If you're a Star Trek fan and you watch the J.J. Abrams movie, those are movies about a guy who doesn't quite get Star Trek, trying to fix them. He's not trying to fix Star Wars. He's trying to give you exactly what you want from Star Wars. As a fan, as somebody who studied extensively how George Lucas shot, how Steven Spielberg shot, and he's going to give you that same type of movie, that same feel. He's a fan, and it's clear because he has such fidelity to the original movies that, you know, you have that clear continuity between one set of movies and this new set of movies. Where with the prequels, Lucas was playing with all the new CGI toys.
Yeah.
And he was playing with toys that he had already clearly lost interest in. He was doing it. You really got the sense of it being rote. Like, he felt the need to finish what he had started. And so he's tired, and it's his toys. He doesn't have the love for them, and he doesn't understand how other people see them. Where J.J. Abrams is coming in here, he knows exactly what you want to see, and he's going to give that to you. It's going to be Star Wars porn. Whereas with Star Trek, he just didn't get it. And so he did what he liked to do, and he included Star Trek characters in that mix. But it didn't have the feel. There were underlying concepts, underlying methodology to how the Federation approached problems versus what they did in these other movies. It's a fan is directing these movies. A guy who kind of likes Star Trek directed those other movies.
Hey, is Mark Hamill in this movie?
Yeah. They all came back. Carrie Fisher came back. If they can get Harrison Ford, they can get anybody.
I'm just making sure.
Well, because at Celebration, they had them all standing on stage. Of course, Harrison Ford, because he just crashed the fucking plane, couldn't be there. But they had them all on stage, and man, you know, they've aged. Like, Carrie Fisher was there, Mark Hamill. Of course, we all met Chewbacca that one year.
Oh, Peter Mayhew?
Yeah, Peter Mayhew. He was there. It was crazy because they were talking about how, like, people waited, like, 2 days in advance to just get there. I think the auditorium held 1,000 people and was sold out. And J.J. Abrams and some other producer bought, like, $1,500 or $15,000 worth of pizza so that those people out there could eat, because they're just sitting there outside a building waiting to get in just to hear about this. And then they brought out the droids. They were talking about how a lot of what you're going to see are practical effects, how they felt it felt better for the actors to react to an actual android instead of a CG. But I respected it. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, yeah. Like their whatever fucking R2-D.
Oh, BB-8.
Fucking whatever bullshit it is.
Yeah.
They're like real, like, props. They're not X's on a stick where they're like, hey, look at this stick.
Yeah. Oh, wait, one more movie. What do you think of the new Jurassic Park?
I have not watched that trailer.
We are not talking about the new Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I've made a point of not watching the trailer. I don't like any of those movies. I don't even like dinosaurs.
You don't like dinosaurs?
I'm not into dinosaurs.
Whoa.
You know what? Fuck dinosaurs.
Shots fired on
fuck dinosaurs.
Shots fired on dinosaurs.
Fuck evolution.
Fuck your
fuck dinosaurs. Fuck it all. It doesn't exist.
T-Rex, okay band, lousy anthropological being. You know, fuck it.
This is his water break.
I can't compete with fuck water.
Dude, that was by far the greatest. the 38% of me that's water. Fuck you.
That's not how it went.
I'm sorry, dude, but that's how I played in my head.
That's not how it
went. I'm paraphrasing. So okay, I was just curious.
Dinosaurs are cool as shit, dude.
I don't like dinosaurs. I find them boring.
I don't find
cars interesting. I don't find planes interesting. I don't find dinosaurs interesting. I just don't care.
Sorry. Somewhere in that list is vagina, so for sure.
No,
I like the opposite sex.
Well, no, because I finally caught the trailer. Hulu Plus was just great for trailers. They have the great.
Today's Marvel Superheroes podcast episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Just remember, a free trial for 30 days. Sign up on HuluPlus.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Please leave that in there.
Hey, why don't you tell us more about Hulu Plus?
Anyway,
let's go ahead and talk about it.
Because they have great trailers, and I finally got to watch the new Jurassic Park one. I don't know what they're doing with that.
It looks really stupid, dude. Like,
yeah.
Super fucking dumb.
It made no sense to me. Did it make sense at all?
It just looks...
I think they're like hybrid dinosaurs.
Yeah, it was like, they're like, we've created all these dinosaurs, so we're bored. Let's make a hybrid killing machine that's going to run loose in the park. And all of a sudden, I was like, what is the point? Like, I thought the point of Jurassic Park was, we're bringing back something that existed, that no longer existed. We're bringing it back. So you can see it live interacting with the world that you live in today. Not let's make scary monster time. It felt really weird. I think that's when the movie's gonna crash and burn.
Yeah, I think it's gonna bomb.
Dude, that one just felt so like disconnected from the franchise. So I was just kind of curious because I watched a bunch of trailers the other day, so.
Disconnected from the franchise. Those movies all fucked up. So
Really? The first one was fine.
I like the first one. I thought the first one was pretty
cool. Well, the first one isn't the franchise. There were like three other ones after that with fucking Jeff Goldblum just...
Well, I know the, okay,
keep
the first one.
Keep getting them checked.
I think he was only in the second one.
Yeah, the one where they're being chased by the T-Rex through the city.
Did Samuel come back to the third one? Is that how that was?
Samuel
died in the...
The guy's not mentioned.
Sam Neill.
Samuel L. Jackson's to the point where he's just Samuel now. He's not even Samuel Jackson. You say Samuel and everybody already knows who you're talking about.
I thought like you were talking like every movie he pops up is like, hold on to your butts. Like in every single movie. That's his thing that he's done. That's his, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Hold on to your butts.
But, okay, so the first one, the second, so Sam Neill came in the third one, didn't he?
I think so. He came back.
Because the second one was Goldblum.
Because apparently Laura Dern was too good to come back for a Jurassic sequel, so.
Well, she made an appearance. You're right, dude. There's like four of them, weren't there?
Low budget because CGI got like cheap to do. So they're like, oh, shit, we can just keep cranking these movies out. And they just cranked out a bunch.
Look, they just did three.
No, I think there's more. I think there's four, and this is the fifth. The last one I remember is they had that super dinosaur, and it had none of the original characters from the movies.
I saw Jurassic Park in the theater, period. I didn't care about that. The most memorable part about that was that I sat in an anthill afterwards waiting on a ride, and it had all these bites on me, and I had to soak into like a special bath because I got sick from all the ant bites.
Oh my god, dude. That's why he hates dinosaurs.
You can't, dude. You can get sick from ant bites. Yeah. That's serious.
Dude, but that's why he hates dinosaurs.
No, I hated them going in.
My ants after watching them.
I only went because I was a teenager and somebody else was paying. You know?
Dude, I remember when Jurassic Park came out, the big deal at the time was there was a theater in Houston that was showing it on like 7 screens, 24 hours a day.
Hey, we're
you
wrong.
Can go
there's
in
only three of them.
You sure?
Or rather, I'm right and you're two are wrong. I like it better that way.
You're probably wrong too about something.
Well, there was a theater showing it for 24 hours. So a guy who was like, it's 4 a.m, let's go watch Jurassic Park. I'll pay for it. But we're like, okay, we went to dinner. Sure. Dude, there was people watching fucking Jurassic Park at like 4 a.m. So we watched it like on a Thursday.
Clever girl. Clever girl. Cause so
that's the line from Jurassic Park.
That's the line from Jurassic
Park. Yeah.
There's this line where the velociraptors, they don't attack you from the front. They come from the sides, so one of them will distract you.
He's actually crying.
There's one of the guys. One of the guys was like, he was like the guy.
There's that line where Lash shakes and water.
And then there's, yeah, there was the ripples.
Yeah, the ripples, yeah.
And then there's the scene where Jeff Goldblum, his cadence, the way he spoke, was all weird. How has there not been a movie where like Jeff Goldblum and Christopher Walken are like brothers?
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
And it's like just, and it has to be 2 hours and 45 minutes long. It can't be a quick like 1 hour and 20 minute movie. I want it to be 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Dude, they can get Jeff now, dude, because he's pretty desperate. He's doing like condo commercials or some shit for like.
Yeah, apartment.com or whatever. Jeff Goldblum.
Ouch. You must be the fashion model who answered my ad in the Penny Saver. Welcome to my abode. Come in, please. Wow. My wonderful one. I see you received my message. You have come to retrieve your mail. You look so lovely. It is as if Michelangelo sculpted you by hand, then kept you for himself in a closet. To visit on lonely nights. Would you care for a glass of champagne? Eh?
Whether you're working on your signature fragrance, improving your attack speeds in your home dojo, or setting a romantic mood in your music room, which is also your hot tub room, you too can achieve perfect lighting. There's room for one more.
Or whatever he does.
He's like hurting for money right now.
Do a Jeff Goldblum impression right now.
He's got a new younger wife.
That's
who,
a shitty impression.
Who's like a gymnast or something. So, yeah, he's got like a 30-year-old wife who's an ex-gymnast who can do the splits while pregnant. So he's got to pay for that shit.
Do a Jeff Goldblum impression.
I can't do Jeff Goldblum.
Just try.
No, I can't do Jeff Goldblum.
You do one.
I can't do Jeff Goldblum.
All I remember is, what's this one? What was his name in The Fly?
Grundlefly.
He's like,
Grundlefly.
Grundle.
Don't eat me.
That's about the best I got.
I think that was the original Pickens fly, actually.
Was it? I just remember because they have fly. We saw fly.
That's a terrible Jeff Goldblum.
Well, like we just watched Fly 2 the other day, and somebody was like, "This movie sucked." I'm like, "Dude, as a kid, I thought it was pretty damn good."
They also, but Eric Schultz, the microphone also.
Eric Schultz,
he's all like, "Enter, man!" I was just like, "Man, I was like, hey, dude, like, what are you doing?"
But hey, you asshole, I got a cramp in my foot for like the last fucking 20 minutes, and it won't go away. Oh, it hurts.
That's a terrible Jeff Goldblum
impression.
Also, Grendel Fly. Ouch!
What did you? I got a cramp in my foot. It's so bad.
Why won't it go away?
Isn't a Jeff Goldblum impersonation just like Christopher Walken with a deeper voice?
Yeah, probably.
Have they ever appeared?
Well, that he finishes the sentence and then pauses instead of it being like middle of a sentence.
He'll do this.
I always think of him as a Buckaroo Banzai.
And he has to.
He wasn't actually Buckaroo Banzai.
No, he was a character. He was the cowboy.
Because RoboCop was Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, Peter Weller, who was in Star Trek that you didn't like.
Yeah, he wasn't that one. I haven't seen
the admiral that went like batshit crazy at the end.
I still haven't seen the second one actually. Right. I've got it recorded. I started watching parts of it.
It is rather gone.
No, the new one.
Oh, the new second.
Yeah, Into
Game of Shadows.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Game of Shadows.
Performance of the song "F the Police" will not be permitted.
They try to tell us what the fuck we can't play. This is WA. Yo, Dre.
What up?
I got something to say.
Hey, did you see that Saturday Night Live skit?
Which one?
Where they did, they were talking about like the different parts of Game of Thrones, and then there's a new part called Comptonian, and it's like they're all black characters, and they have Ice Cube, he's ruling it. And they actually got the one of the characters from Game of Thrones, Lannister.
What's his face?
Jamie
Lannister. Jamie. He actually shows up. He's like, "Don't hate the Slayer, hate the game." That is hilarious, dude. And Ice Cube does this thing. He dresses like a character from the show, and he's walking by, and goes like this to him, and he actually pulls his coat aside and shows off the sword, like showing off his gun.
Yeah,
and they're all doing the stereotypical black movie scenes,
right?
But in
Game of Thrones,
oh, dude, I thought it was good. I was laughing.
Want to check it out? Hey, are we gonna see Straight Outta Compton? By the way,
where would I catch Hulu Plus.
Hey, we might have a sponsor that we've said enough times.
I'm pretty confident Hulu Plus has bigger fish to fry than the Marvel Superhero podcast. And plus, it's not ABC, so I think there might be an issue there too. Are we going to see Straight Outta Compton or what?
Maybe.
I don't know. Dude.
What'd you think of the trailer?
That's one of those movies that it's based off the myth and not so much factual.
Sure, but that's okay.
That's like, I've seen enough. You know, Dre walked on water one time. He was so high, he just walked across the pool. So they're going to put that in the movie type shit.
You know Dre's kids playing Dre, right?
All the actors, those are their kids. The only one is Eazy-E. His kid's suing the movie because he didn't get a part in the movie.
Sounds about right.
So, I mean, it's not on my, oh my God, I got to go see it opening weekend.
Hey, does Ice Cube have anything to do with like the production of the movie?
Probably. They all do. Right?
Yeah, that means it's going to suck, dude. Ice Cube, he did a ESPN 30 for 30.
You're talking about that, about the Raiders?
On the Raiders? And it was like the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. It was terrible. Because it was all about like, man, no, these players, you know, it was like the Raiders and it was like, you know, NWA. And the interview with player, he'd be like, no, we didn't listen to rap. We were, you know, we were in our 30s when rap was coming out. So we'd like the music to listen to. And then it cut to Ice Cube like, see, they totally like liked rap and stuff. See, you couldn't have Raiders without NWA. You couldn't have NWA without the Raiders. They come back to Raiders. No, we were just football players. You know, we didn't really listen to that stuff. But yeah, they wore our jacket. And then it's like he was trying to hype it up, make it all, and it's just like, no, it's just not. That's what I'm afraid the movie's going to be. It's going to be a bunch of them sucking each other's dicks for the whole fucking movie, and you're going to be like, there's no way it was. Like, show me the fucking struggle of how you got to become NWA, and instead of thinking they're going to romanticize it, like, they were just fucking off.
But that's what I remember. Ice Cube's parents were like college professors. It's not like he was down for the struggle. He just happened to meet these guys that, I think Eazy was the original, like, straight out of the hood type guy, and then they all kind of gravitated toward him, and then NWA came up. I don't know. It's going to be one of those myth movies where it's all based on hearsay. And I remember it happening this way, and it's
I'll see it. Maybe. I don't know.
We should probably start from the Daredevil thing now.
Yeah, probably.
Hulu Plus.
No, wait. I finally saw Kick-Ass 2. That was not a strong movie.
Oh, it sucked.
It was pretty horrific. Fucking lame.
Plot.
I like his... Start back from where you just said.
What? Oh, Dan Slott, dude. I've been reading his Superior Spider-Man stuff, and at first I thought, oh, this is gonna be kind of stupid. It's gonna be goofy. Ah, Dr. Oxbrain. But when you read it and you see how he fucked up his life, and then you come back and then Spidey's back, because I actually haven't read the last trade, and I picked up the current stuff right now. So I've been reading. I really like him. I like Matt Fraction.
Yeah. I just want to throw in the only time in my adult life I've ever been tempted to read Spider-Man books was Dan Slott's Superior Spider-Man.
Really?
Because everything I heard about that, it sounded really cool.
Oh,
if I were into Spider-Man at all, even a little bit, I mean, I can barely even bring my ass to the movies.
Now you're recording. Now he needs to be closer to the mic. See, this is what I was fucking saying. We're going to start recording, and you haven't... trying to talk to you, but his fucking microphone...
Leave him alone. Let him talk.
Motherfucker.
The leveler does a lot of good. So anyway, yeah, the only time I don't like... I can barely bring my ass to the Spider-Man movies.
Did you read the first trade comics. Yet? Have you read the first trade?
A Superior?
Yeah.
I've actually sat down and read nothing. I've only read about it and read individual pages like previews and stuff.
I will bring you... I have the first trade only. That was the only one I bought. And then the rest of them I got loaned to me.
Yeah, but I don't want to get that started. I'm just...
Actually, it's on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to dig into that. I'm not jumping into Spider-Man stuff. I'm just saying that as a guy who doesn't have an interest in Spider-Man at all and hasn't for a long time, that's the only run that's ever took me to maybe go ahead and try some Spider-Man stuff again.
But see, this is where I was just thinking about this because I've been doing a lot of reading. Marvel has really stepped up their game with their stable of writers. Matt Fraction, I actually enjoy his stuff.
Really grow
Crystal Gage. I think that's
Crystal Gage.
I really enjoy his stuff.
Yeah, that's a guy that they got from DC too.
Yeah. And then you got Dan Slott. Fuck Michael Bendis. I'm not a big fan of him. See, he already shot his load a long time ago.
I'm actually hearing though his X-Men stuff is good.
And the thing is, Bendis is an
X-Men style writer. He should have always been writing X-Men. I think that if he had been writing X-Men instead of fucking up the Avengers, because he never had any business doing that book, I would like it better.
Okay, Avengers stuff. His X-Men stuff is good. His Guardians is garbage.
I was actually talking with somebody the other day and they were supporting his Guardian stuff. So.
Okay. That person should be beaten. What a fucking bag of rusty doorknobs.
So what's wrong with Dennis's Guardians then?
Okay, so I've read the first three trades so far. And they just don't... Like, I've read... What was it? The two writers before? Abbott?
Abbott and Lanning.
Okay, so they got me into Guardians. Like, I hadn't read anything. And then, we did our podcast on Annihilation and stuff. Read that stuff. And their take on Guardians was fun. Like, Rocket Raccoon was fun. Groot was cool. Like I enjoyed that run.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that each person had their own personality. They mixed, but sometimes they didn't kind of clash.
Well, that's
just
what we're talking about
with
the Nova miniseries, because I haven't gone as far into the Guardian stuff as you, obviously.
Yeah.
But what we really liked about Nova was how, even though Quasar and Nova are kind of similar, they had different voices.
Yeah.
Everybody had different voices in that book, and I was hoping that would carry on to Guardians. You're saying
it did. Absolutely did. So
I
enjoyed
it. I haven't heard anybody say that Brendis was as good as Dabnet Landing. I've just heard it said that it's not as bad as
I enjoyed it.
What was it you just liked, though?
They all feel the same. Like, that, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to give it a chance because I like the Guardians, but it almost feels like he's writing for the movie, where the movie was based on these books and they tried to translate the movie into those books with the characters. He's more like, well, I'm going to write the movie, but let me rewrite some of this stuff. Let me do my Bendis thing and I'm going to change stuff and I'm going to make this character. And it's just, I've gone through, I'm on the third trade right now and I'm just kind of like, it's not a chore. Angela's cool, but so, I get a kick out of Angela just because it's like it was stolen from Todd McFarlane kind of thing. It's a big fuck you to Todd. So I was kind of like, that's kind of cool.
I actually kind of want to go and reread the Angela stuff as part of the Marvel podcast just to see how that integrates.
I like what they hint at, like, you know, Odin kind of stuck into someone, or what is it? She's supposed to be the... Or do you know anything about that?
My understanding is, isn't she the secret lost sister of Loki and Thor?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, Odin was going out there knocking it around, and I think that's cool. I think that's a cool way to bring her into the Marvel universe.
What you're telling me.
Yeah. Well, but it's just kind of cool I hate when they just introduce a character, and then she's like, well, I've always been here, but you couldn't see me. And this was like, no, Odin was out fucking.
Did they make any allusions to Spawn at all? Or did they make any allusions to her being from another place or anything like that?
Not that I'm on the trade with her on it now, what I've read of it. And like I said, I kind of dropped.
Because did you read Age of Ultron, the comics?
Yeah, it was.
That's when she came in, though, right?
I'm not. No, I read the trade on it. I don't remember her popping up.
I thought
up
that
in
she
that.
Was like toward the end. She popped dimensional warp or some crap. Some rift.
I read the they had that big trade of the Age of Ultron, which honestly I was a little disappointed in. It's just
I heard a lot of people because they built it up so much. There was going to be this big epic for Marvel, and it was so damn long delayed. And it finally comes out, and it almost seemed like it kind of like queefed.
Yeah. Well, I read it on Marvel Unlimited. And let's just put it, I wasn't impressed. I guess that's what Bendis, I enjoyed him a long time ago when he was on Daredevil and he was so daring and different.
He's better on smaller things. He's not the guy you get for these big cosmic things.
Well, no, his X-Men stuff is okay. I mean, now the people I know that have read his X-Men stuff think it's kind of goofy, like, oh, they brought the X-Men from the past to the future. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's the X-Men have always been about time travel and alternate universes, so it fits in with their world, so it's not a big deal.
Well, and Bendis does soap opera pretty well.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I don't hate his writing, but there's some things that he should... I think sometimes he stretches them thin, and so his ideas aren't as polished. They're almost kind of like just throw them out there real quick and get it going. And that's what I feel with Guardians feels like sometimes. I think they're just going for that money grab for the movie. The movie did so great. Let's throw some books out there so the kids will pick them up.
And, well, and also Bendis helps to sell the property. As much as people like Abnett and Lanning, people weren't buying that book while they were doing
it. And they should have. Yeah, stupid bastards. It was a great book.
I think people are going back now because I don't believe that the movie alone or Bendis alone could be driving this big mad rush.
I thought the movie.
Do you realize how many Guardians books they're coming out with now? They got Guardians 3000.
Yeah.
They've got Star-Lord in his own series. Rocket Raccoon's in his own series. Gamora's about to get a series. And they're going to do a team-up book now.
But the thing is, like I said, watching the movie, you saw so much of the books in there. I did anyway. Mm-hmm. Like Nowhere and all that. So I'm watching.
Specifically
the Yeah, Nowhere, Cosmo. I'm watching it. I'm like, I remember reading this, and they did such a well translation of it. They still kept some of the fun. I mean, Star-Lord is that sarcastic kind of an asshole. They kept a lot of that flavor in there. So that's why I thought the movie did so well, because when they wrote it, it was so different than what was out there at the time. Now, as far as people weren't reading it, I mean, I thought people were reading it. I thought so. I enjoyed it. I know people that read it with me or were reading it at the time, they enjoyed it. We all thought it was just a really good book. But it wasn't one of those, you know, burning hot titles. I could see that. But back to the Spider-Man slot, dude. I really like his stuff. I don't know. I think Marvel's just doing a great job with their stable.
Honestly, part of it is Marvel. I think a big part of it, too, is that DC is such a toxic place right now to work at that everybody who can leave has left for the most part.
Well, dude, every book I look is either written by Geoff Johns.
You mean books that you care about? There's a lot of books that are.
I used to like him a lot. I mean, granted, you know, he built his career on other writers. I mean,
everything is fucking Alan Moore or Alex Ross.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah, especially Alan Moore. I mean, the whole I hate when someone was trying to tell me that they were talking about it, and they're like, "Yeah, I really like that whole Green Lantern, multiple colors, da 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 da." And I said, "Well, did you ever read the origins of it?" And they're like, "What origins?" I'm like, "Well, there's actually a book that Alan Moore wrote a long time ago. It's a short story that kind of sets us up." And he's like, he read it and he was like, "Wow, that was so cool. Why didn't they follow that?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, I think what's noticed, you have to cut some of this out, but I think the biggest problem I see what they're doing in the comic book world is they have a great idea and they try to expand it for months months instead of doing this really great 6, 7, 12 issue run. Like Contest of Champions or Secret Wars, where it's just like this nice little run, a short story.
Well, we're going to have to read some Secret Wars to see how strongly you feel about that in the future.
Actually,
but Contest of Champions running 3 issues, it's hard to fuck it up when you've got all those different characters.
I was going to say, I just finished reading Deathmatch, and it was literally like they were like, let's do Secret Wars, but make it badass.
Yeah.
Except it peters out at the end. Did you ever finish that one?
I've read the first one, and I was going to try to read those other ones to talk with you about it, and it just didn't happen.
Just let you know, it's a little disappointing at the end.
Well, Paul Jenkins doesn't end books well. I like Jenkins. I he sets up some good stuff, but he always seems to lose it at the landing.
Everything that I've ever read of his that I enjoyed was a small 12.
He's good at the short story. Yeah. He's good at the single issue story.
Can you give me a napkin?
Yeah.
I was about to sneeze. I didn't want to sneeze on the mic.
I did buy a spittle guard though for the guests.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't want to get another foam deal because I figured if they're spitting on it, then it's just going to get trapped in there and it's going to be different people's spit. So I got a guard.
Well, you need to buy a can of Lysol. And every week, someone changes up to spray myself.
Well, but that's why I make sure that only the people that use the mics use the mics. It's yours. It's mine. It's his.
So. Still get eight from yourself.
You can still get eight from yourself. Is that right?
The what?
I don't think
you gotta watch that Ebola.
Yeah. Oh God. I'm so tired. I'm over Ebola.
I think all the Ebola stuff.
I'm so over it. Yeah. Well, people finally realized that it wasn't so easily communicable. So, I even have to walk back my criticism of all those nurses that went on trips. Because it's like, well, yeah. Because they weren't, it wasn't an issue for the most part. Maybe the ship. But everybody gets sick on the ship. You know, if you're going to get on a fucking Caribbean cruise, whatever the fuck it was, you just have to expect you're going to get sick.
Better. Feeling better now. So, we're going to talk about the trailers. That was a fucking awesome trailer.
Okay. Well, here's, we can talk about the trailer. Yeah, go ahead and, before we talk about the trailer, hold on.
We already talked about the trailer a couple episodes ago.
But did all of us talk about it then?
No.
No. The phone will be ready in 5 minutes.
Cool, I'm
okay,
starving.
You talk about a trailer and now I'll queue up something else.
Is it Howard the Duck going to queue up?
Coming. Why would I start Howard the Duck before we eat, man?
No, I get like this sometimes. Yeah, no, it hasn't. I just get like this sometimes. I sneeze for like 10, 20 times.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, and then it'll stop.
And then it stops, you don't sneeze for forever.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I'll go like months without sneezing.
And I don't go months without sneezing.
I do.
Dude, you need to go to the doctor if you're going months without sneezing.
Yeah.
Months?
Dude, months. I'll go. Dude, it's been at least 2 or 3 months since I've sneezed. And then it'll hold up, and then all of a sudden, I'll get this urge, and man, I'll sneeze until my nose bleeds.
Oh, that's right.
You get sneeze and hiccups all the time.
I don't get the hiccups that often.
I'm looking for something in the wrong place.
Oh, we gotta watch that.
Gotta watch what?
Oh, that I wanna watch.
We can watch this. Why don't we just watch this movie?
No, we'll watch this.
Well,
we can do Howard the Duck too.
We're going to do fucking Howard the Duck. Damn it. Yes, we are gonna do Howard the
Duck. And just so you know, I rewatched it last week just because it is one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Well, we're gonna watch it in HD.
Okay, is that gonna be cool?
I'll tell you what, why don't we, because we're about to eat anyway, we'll just watch this while we're eating.
Okay.
But in the meantime, what I want to explain to you, premise-wise, what we're doing.
Yeah, hey, do we have any new fans or anything?
Oh, yeah.
It's actually Skyrim.
Okay.
It's an interesting podcast, that Howard the Duck.
That one, I swear to God, that was one of the toughest ones I've ever had to edit.
Really, why?
Because one section will be playing on the screen while we're talking about another section. And then it won't fit because we haven't talked about something else yet. And I'm trying to put the discussion into chronological sequence so that we're kind of following the movie. But we talk about the movie first, like editorialize and do the critique. And then we talk about the plot of the movie. And we're doing it at different times and different ways and different sections. It took me forever. I thought it was going to be a simple one to edit. And every time I thought I was going to close it up on Thursday, didn't. Thought I was going to close it on Friday, didn't. I didn't close that shit out until Sunday afternoon. Because it was so hard to figure out how to put it together properly. Plus, there was a lot of sound bites. So trying to find the specific ones I'm looking for.
Too many sound bites.
Sorry, buddy. But I needed that for the transitions because we were jumping around so much.
What did our listenership think?
They liked it okay. It wasn't like, oh my God, it was a great thing ever.
But people were like, oh, Howard the Duck.
Talking about Howard the Duck.
I loved Howard the Duck as a kid.
Yeah. Thank you guys for actually giving it a fair shake and that kind of shit. Yeah. Oh, okay. I want to see that again. So, yeah. It did okay. We've definitely had worse, so. We had a pretty decent response to that last one just because people are talking about was it the movie stuff that we already had? The movie stuff.
Well, those are always good. Those are cheap hits.
Yeah.
Because, one, it's a versus podcast where you're matching up.
Mm-hmm.
We're comparing, so everybody automatically will want to hear that.
And you don't
and chime in,
Mac's
too.
Mac's going to be Mac.
I will make the fuck fun of your shitty character. You have to know. If you're an Aquaman fan, you have to know. That's all my point. Be real about the characters you like.
Well, here's the thing, though, is the guy who's such a fan of Aquaman, Rob Kelly, his expectations have been defied repeatedly. He doesn't know if Geoff Johns and Ivan Reese are going to be able to launch an Aquaman series out of Brightest Day. They do, and not only is it big, but it's bigger than X-Men for several months. It outsells like everything Marvel's got for months, and it's still a better seller for Aquaman. So that creative team leaves, and he's like, okay, well, now that the big talent's gone, the book's going to sink. And no, these lesser-known creators, Jeff Parker and Paul Pelletier, they managed to sustain the sales at a good level and have a fan following of their own.
gently stroking the staff. Oh, yeah. It's a very phallic thing going on there.
Pussy in about 4 days.
The guy doesn't.
Why are you stroking it like it's a dick? That's weird.
I usually grab my dick like that. Yeah.
That's a stinger. Because
I was hoping. No, you need the visual comment. You need the compound.
No, you got it. You hear this.
Wait a minute, I got a question. So,
But also, and then you've got an animated movie about Aquaman that's coming out, Throne of Atlantis. Game of Thrones. You've got an Aquaman feature film coming out. Have you been a fan of Aquaman for 40 some odd years?
This is your time.
Yeah, because there hasn't been an Aquaman cartoon since the 1966.
Did you read any of the Geoff Johns Aquaman stuff?
Yeah, I read I didn't care for it. I dropped the book. The art is gorgeous. Ivan Reis is just one of my favorite artists right now. But and I knew he was going to be big. When he was doing Lady Death, I knew that guy was going to be big because he just has this quality of line that's gorgeous, and it doesn't look like anybody. It kind of looks like there's Neil Adams elements to it, but he doesn't look like Adams, and he incorporates elements of like the Image guys, but it doesn't look like the Image guys either. He's really, really good artist. So I was never surprised that the book did well and it looked good. I just don't think Geoff Johns knew what to do with the character, or he knew what to do to sell it to the plebs. As opposed to telling good Aquaman stories, he figured out that people liked monsters and they liked Black Manta being a hardcore lethal killer type person. And they wanted, you know, he just figured out what he thought would be popular, it seemed like. And it was very successful. He very well tapped into what people needed to see to think Aquaman was going to be cool. Yeah.
I never read it.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think you would probably enjoy it, and I need to loan that stuff to you. I've got most of those. I've got the first two major story arcs and some material that fell in between those two, and I kept meaning to cover them on my blogs, and I don't think I'm ever going to get around to it. So I need to collect that stuff and just give it to you.
Yeah, I want to read it because I didn't read any of the Aquaman stuff. Like I said,
which was one of the best of the New 52 titles.
Really?
Yeah, easily.
I liked his Green Lantern stuff. I liked the different lanterns until we got to like the Brightest Day bullshit, and then. It just tanked after that for me. It just got bad.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Douche.
Warnos.
I just don't like the costume design.
Oh, yeah, the suit. Because
the main thing with – what makes Moon Knight cool is the costume.
I actually like the fact that he's batshit crazy. Like, you don't really
– No, the batshit crazy is interesting too, but the main thing, the number one draw for Moon Knight as far as I'm concerned is he looks so fucking cool. And if the stories were ever as cool as the costume, he'd be a major hit. But the stories are never as cool. His best run was when Bill Sienkiewicz was drawing the book before he'd gone crazy with his artwork, back when he was a Neil Adams clone. And what happened is you got to see his progression from Neil Adams to Bill Sienkiewicz, especially toward the end when he redesigned Werewolf by Night to look like the Howling Werewolves, and he started doing more of that cool, frenetic. You know how, like there was a character, I think his name was Arsenal, and he carried a mace, and there was one issue where there was a splash page where he's basically smacking a guy in the face with the mace, and you're seeing the impact on his face and the energy and the chaos and the horror of it all, so well rendered. And then he went from Moon Knight to New Mutants. So you got to see him, his progression and the madder Bill Sienkiewicz got, the madder the stories got, and the more interesting Moon Knight became. And unfortunately, that series ended right around the time when it was finally reaching its peak in terms of the visual style and the peculiarity that was creeping into the book. I've got the first of the Essentials. There's just the problem with the first Essential is they collect too much early shit, and the later stuff's where the really good part is. So I have to get some of that. But I haven't ever checked to see if Moon Knight's on the Marvel app.
They're putting a lot of shit on Marvel.
I'm glad for it.
I'm finding a lot of stuff there that I didn't think they would have, and they're, I guess, adding.
Mm-hmm.
What I really love is they really started to focus on an entire event. So, like, let's say you want to read Inferno. They'll throw every fucking thing Inferno in there.
Yeah.
So you could actually...
I need to see if those Secret Wars tie-ins are in there.
I was sitting there, I started reading Fall of the Mutants, and I was like...
Fall of the Mutants wasn't very good, because they didn't connect. They're three different separate stories.
Hey, talk about Bedlam.
Yeah, we need to talk about Bedlam.
Yeah, because I got to get out of here in a little bit.
You still need to read Secret Wars number 1 and talk to us about that, because they've already read it.
Okay, I'm going to take this and read it tonight.
That's the second one. I mean, the first one.
Oh, was the first one?
Yeah, this is the first one. I have the second one right here. I just finished reading it.
I read Catastrophe and a bunch of other fucking Marvel shit. I'm reading Batman
Eternal. Which one is Catastrophe?
Right
That's the one where Galactus leaves our dimension and goes into the ultimate dimension.
Oh, okay, and
he absorbs their version of Galactus. Number one, the thing that sucked about the book, besides Bendis wrote it, was the plot was really weak. Like, I kind of was excited a little bit for it, but the way the trade is set up, they actually give you a preview for it. Then the actual catastrophe, whatever it is, series, then they give you the connected ones, like the X-Men, the Spider-Man, and whatever. So the book, to me, was backwards. I read the series, I found out the ending, and now you want me to go back and reread these little stories that were in the middle, which it would have been smart to put those stories between each book.
Right. I hate when they do a book like that where they've got all these satellite books, and then they want to collect them in their own special. Well, if I read the core miniseries, I don't need that stuff.
I wish they would put it in the order it should be read.
Oh, sure.
So then you can feel the build-up, because what sucked is I read it, I got through the series, and then the other books would have been a nice little build-up for each character that I read about. So I just like, I didn't give a shit. So I stopped and then I finished The Ultimate Foes of Spider-Man ended. That was fucking a fantastic book. That was a good series. And then right now I'm reading Batman Eternal. And dude, this Snyder motherfucker, he's just really good. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I didn't think I would, but it's him writing with someone else. Let me ask you this. When someone does the script and someone does the story, what is the difference?
Typically, it's what it sounds like. Somebody will do however many pages. Sometimes it's a paragraph, sometimes it's pages, where it's the plot. Everything that's going to happen in the story, roughly. And then the person who does the script is the one who actually puts the words in people's mouths and will sometimes have to...
So he walks in, he says, okay, I want Batman walking into a room, and then Catwoman walks in. They talk for a few minutes. It should be about this subject. And then he just kind of moves on, and the scripter comes in and actually creates the dialogue for that?
Well, it just depends, because that's why it's kind of vague. Sometimes you have something as simple as Batman and Catwoman have a fight, and then that's the whole plot synopsis, and then somebody has to figure out why they have to have a fight, what the fight's about, and then other times they're very detailed, and you're just sort of like cleaning it up. But I've been hearing good things about Batman Eternal, where that's when one of the first of DC's weekly series that's actually been good, where the way they broke down the duties in terms of the writing has been very successful, and the only thing I hear complaints about is that the art is inconsistent.
Well, yeah, it's not very consistent. It bounces all over. Like, one minute you'll have a good art, next minute you'll have kind of... not even an avant-garde artist. No, it's kind of all over the place. There's some artists, you know, you're enjoying reading it. There's some artists that's just like, let me chuck through this real quick because it's really cartoony.
Well, a lot of times with those weekly books, what it comes down to is who can hit the deadline, who's available right now that we can call. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, how sometimes at a job you need a fill-in for that day. They're just calling everybody they've got in the Rolodex until they hit somebody who can make the deadline.
Dude, this trade is fucking huge.
Well, I think that they got scared because they've had so many of these weekly series that by the time they were finished collecting it, nobody cared anymore.
Well, the only thing that sucks is they do hint at some other stuff in the other Batman books, which I haven't read, like Damien and some other stuff.
Oh,
I'm like,
by the way, be careful out there on the internets, because they've already spoiled the big bad on that one.
No, I don't care, dude.
It's like fucking Batman Legends of the Dark came out, and they just had different colored paper wraps outside the cover, and people collected all the different colors.
Well, they did it for the Death Superman too, right? Wasn't there like a black one, a red one?
Well, they only did two versions. They did the black polybag one that had all the goodies in it.
Which I still
And I want to say they sold something like 8 million copies of that one, and they weren't going to reprint that one. Then they had the newsstand edition that was just the gray cover, the tombstone.
Yeah.
And that's the one they did multiple printings on to satisfy demand.
I still have the black polygraph one.
So is Doomsday still around in DC?
Doesn't he have Brainiac's mind or some shit?
They've done so much shit with Doomsday. He's in the New 52. They did something with him fairly recently.
Well, I always thought he had a cool origin.
What was Doomsday's origin?
A scientist created him. He was on one of the most hostile planets in the universe, and he would let the Doomsday character go out, and then die.
Well, first he was an infant. He genetically cloned an infant, and then they would throw the infant, and the infant would be ripped to shreds.
That's right.
And he collected genetic material and keep resending it out over and over again until it created natural defenses against the environment.
It became so violent that the surroundings no longer bothered it. It somehow got off the planet.
Well, no, it finally got powerful enough to go back and kill the fucking scientists and then get off world.
Well, but then it go off. Then it like land on a planet that two tribes were at war. He lands on there, and they're like, start fighting him, and he literally starts tearing through them.
Yeah, I think I remember the planet's about to collapse. Yeah.
So they're trying to launch a ship, and Doomsday jumps on the ship, and that's how he gets to Earth. Though I don't remember, how did he ever get buried in that suit and stuff? I don't remember.
I think he was defeated by the Radiant, which was some light being from some planet somewhere, who was able to knock Doomsday out for a little bit, and they wrapped him up in all the cables and shit, and shot him off in a rocket. And I think at some point later on, Doomsday fights Radiant again and destroys it because he's evolved beyond it.
Well, the one image I always remember is the one where they have
Doomsday's dead and Cyborg Superman is tying him to an asteroid.
Right.
And he's going to fling him into space.
He does.
No, but there was a point to that.
Yeah, he flings Doomsday into space, and at the end, Doomsday opens his eyes in the midst of space and starts laughing.
Yeah.
And he reveals that he's still alive.
Yeah. Of course, he killed Superman. With the powerful what?
Why does all that sound way cooler than it probably was?
Oh, because it was.
No, at the time, Reign of Superman was actually really cool.
I don't know. The multiple Supermans was a little...
No. At the time, because here's the thing. I didn't read the Doomsday stuff. I knew that they were going to kill off Superman, but I tried reading Superman books prior to that point, and they kind of sucked. So I just bought the 75, and then I let all the World Without a Superman stuff come through, and Fear for a Friend, which where my understanding the good stuff happens, the good story elements happen. And then I jumped on with Reign of the Superman, which is where they introduced the four different ones. And it was so cool seeing them try to set up these characters and dropping all these teases as to which one might be the real Superman and what's going on with Doomsday. So reading that month to month and not knowing where it was all going to be going and not knowing what kind of Superman you were going to end up with by the time it was all said and done was exciting. It really made – it was – you know, a ton of people got into comics based on, you know, the Reign of the Superman and all the stuff that preceded it. And Nightfall, when they broke Batman. Lots of people jumped onto those books at that point in time because they were really exciting and you didn't know where it was going to all lead to. Ultimate Warrior led to is a return to the status quo, except Superman had a mullet for a while. And that's when I jumped off. I think I lasted less than 6 months after Superman was actually back before I realized, oh, this is the same boring shit that was going on beforehand, and I dropped it. And they managed, because they created so much heat around Superman based on Reign of Superman, that they managed to do their mediocre fucking stories for like the better part of a decade after Reign of Superman, the same exact creative teams grandfathered in because the sales had gotten so good and because they were stable even as the industry started collapsing.
So who? Well, okay, so what were the Superman? You had Steel?
Yep.
Cyborg Superman, Superboy.
Well, at the time, he was the Metropolis Kid, or he referred to himself as Superman, and the Eradicator.
Eradicator.
The one with the glasses.
The baddest looking one of all.
Nah, Cyborg, dude. Cyborg Superman was a
shooter. I like Steel. I like
Steel. Steel was Iron Man and Thor and Superman mashed together.
Well, I like to say Captain America. It's like the three core Avengers mashed together and you end up with Steel.
But I thought Eradicator's actual suit, other than the Breath of Matt Hart glass that he had on, I thought that the costume looked really good. I thought it was the best looking costume of the bunch.
And for me, he was I thought it was just kind of boring looking. I thought
Cyborg was the shit, dude. He had the skeletal part of the cyborg sticking out of him. And you knew he was going to go batshit crazy.
Yeah, all true. Superman, of course you were like that.
I looked at him and I was like, he's going batshit crazy. He's going to be the one that either kills all the Supermans or he does batshit crazy because he's a robot, half Superman, half robot.
And of course he turns around and blasts Eradicator to pieces.
Yeah, Eradicator to me was just kind of a, I don't know.
Well, I was working into the theory that Steel had Superman's soul and that the body was Eradicator's, and then Cyborg was obviously just going to be a villain, and Superboy was going to be the new Superboy, even though they were trying to call him Superman at the time.
So Superboy
and, of course, none of that shit ended up working. Yeah. Well, most of that didn't work out. Half of it didn't work out
anymore. Yeah, no, it kind of fell.
Superboy had, like, the sleeves torn off a jacket or something.
No, he had a leather jacket with a yellow S-shield on the back.
Yeah, dude, it's
so nice.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he was.
And then, no,
he was actually
did he
kind
have
of
a ponytail,
50s.
Too?
Or, oh, no, he had, like, kind of a New Kids on the Block kind of hairstyle.
But what did Supes turn into Energy Superman?
Oh, that was a few years later. That was a number of years later.
I thought that was right after Reign of Superman.
No, that was many years later.
Yeah, because I thought that was
the Because he rocked Superman. The mullet for a long time. He went from mullet to Energy Superman, right?
Yeah, because Energy Superman was...
Yeah, I think he cut the mullet a little bit before Energy Superman. By Energy Superman, he was back to being clean cut, but it was a number of years of mullet, and then probably a year or so without the mullet, and then Electro Superman.
That was weird. That was a weird time for Supes.
Well, that was actually an alternate because they would do those Superman meetings to figure out what they're going to do for the next year. And one guy would say, let's change Superman's costume. And one guy would say, let's change his powers. And one guy would say, let's do a new version of Superman, Red, Superman, Blue. And Jerry Ordway would always say, well, let's just kill Superman. And one year they realized with the sales being what they were and the all these other brands getting hyped up and Superman being lost, all the chaos. Wow, killing Superman actually could be a good idea. That's when they finally explored that. And then having tapped that idea, several years later, they finally retreated back to, let's change his costume and change his powers and do Superman, Red, Superman, Blue all at the same time.
Yeah.
So is any of that in DC continuity?
Nope. Really? All wiped out.
The only stuff that's still in DC continuity is Green Lantern.
Is green?
No. Most of Green Lantern's continuity is in because of Geoff Johns. They want to respect everything that Geoff Johns did, and Geoff Johns was backing everything that had preceded him.
Yeah.
So Green Lantern is pretty much intact, and Batman to a large degree is intact because they kept a lot of that stuff going into the New 52 because Grant Morrison was still involved. He was actually continuing stories from the previous continuity. DC were being real pussies. They didn't want to say whether or not they were going to reboot their entire universe. Ultimately, they rebooted everything except for the most popular shit, which was Green Lantern and Batman at that time. And then everything else got changed.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Did they reboot Batman after all?
It's not that they've rebooted Batman, but most everything that was important to Batman from previous years of comics were still there. Because even after, because they're trying to say there's only a 5-year timeline at this point, but somehow Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, Jason Todd, all those guys still managed to be Robin within that 5-year timeline. Because they were unwilling to make any changes to adjust for Batman because Batman is immutable. He's such a perfect hero that you can't change anything about Batman. But they, you know, it doesn't make any damn sense.
Weird.
Yeah. No, it's not weird. It's cowardly. Because if you're going to reboot your universe, reboot your fucking universe. Don't say, we were going to reboot everything except for the popular shit, which doesn't interact well with everything else we've changed.
Stupid.
It doesn't make, yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. If you're going to reboot everything, for starters, start in year one. And instead, they start in year five, and they're trying to say, well, some of this stuff's still in there, and some of it isn't. And it's not like Crisis, where the majority of the shit still was there. And only the really wacky, goofball shit was thrown out. Everything got thrown out, except for some really bad ideas for people who ran Marvel around back in the 90s. It's all the same people. Bob Harris, Bobby Chase.
Bob Harris is still in the comic industry?
He's one of the guys who's running DC Comics now.
Up, dude.
It's like he got bumped out of Marvel by Joe Quesada's ascent to editor-in-chief. He wasn't doing anything in comics besides freelance writing for a while there, and I think he was maybe working at a video game company or some shit, and then Jim Lee brought him back to work at DC Comics, and now he's like one of the big editors at DC Comics. I think he might actually be like an editor-in-chief, and then Jim Lee's a publisher or a co-publisher, and I think Dan Didio and Jeff Johns are also like some form of co-publishers, or I think Jeff Johns like a creative director. There's a real bureaucracy there now. So.
I figured that like Bob Harris would have never got work in the comic industry ever.
Tom DeFalco was over there. Howard Mackey was over there for a while. Scott Lobdell. Scott Lobdell was one of the main Superman writers for quite a while there. And he was the one who wrote Titans for the first run. They've already started a new series of Titans. It's just been 3 years since the New 52's been going on.
I'm starting to see now.
Yeah, how bad this could be. DC's New 52 now is Marvel in the mid-90s. That's where they're at right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad times.
Well, I mean, you can't really pick up anything and start reading, my understanding is.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is you're going to do a reboot, and then you don't reboot everything to round zero. Because there's a fellow, Andrew Leyland. He's a English guy who does some podcasts, Hey Kids Comics. And I think he's the regular co-host on Longbox now. And he was talking about how if you're going to really do this, you're going to really start the DC Universe over again. You start at the very beginning with like 6 titles. A Superman title, a Batman, a Wonder Woman, a Flash, a Green Lantern, a Justice League. And you start everything from the very beginning. You got these 6 books. You get the best creators you can possibly get to do those 6 books. And everybody in the comic industry would read those 6 books because the entire DC universe was contained in those books. And then you slowly expand out from that, which I thought was a great idea. That's exactly the sort of thing they should have done. And they've never done that. Every time DC's tried to do a relaunch, it's always tried to relaunch 40 books all at once, 60 books all at once. Like when they did Zero Hour, all the books were zero for 1 month and then they all came back to their old number. Shit like that. It's always very half-assed. So if you're going to do it, really fucking do it and make it ground zero for everybody so that nobody has to wonder what's in continuity, what's out of continuity. Instead, you get the New 52 and it's 5 years into the existence of DC superheroes, except for Justice League, which takes place like maybe a year into the timeline, and the Superman titles, which are taking place roughly in year one for the first year or so. So that it's all kind of staggered. And they're being cagey about whether or not any of the old stuff is in continuity or not. Ultimately, it was pretty clear that all the old shit had been thrown out. But they didn't want to come out and say that. And they wanted to make sure they could kind of backpedal out of there. They felt the need to. So it was just this great big hash of bullshit. And because they didn't, like we talked about before, because they didn't have the influx of creators from guys like Jim Shooter pushing guys out of other companies, all the guys that don't want to work at Marvel are going off and working at Image or one of the other independent companies. DC is this extremely toxic company with lots of micromanaging and lots of, we want like last minute changes because the editorial decided they want to do something different. Like I said, it's just like mid-90s Marvel in that respect, by the same people who fucking ran Marvel aground. And the only people who want to work at DC are the few guys that actually have those kind of perks like Grant Morrison and Geoff Johns, where they do leave those guys alone, Scott Snyder. And then everybody else has to deal with the stupid, capricious bullshit and the hierarchies and the just – it's a fucking mess. So they got lower-class creators basically. They tried to recruit a bunch of guys from the independents and they fucked those guys over so they left and wouldn't come back. And that's why guys like Lob Del are getting books, because nobody else wants to fucking work with them anymore. And these are the guys who are going to launch your universe. Well, not a sustainable version of one.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's really fucking bad.
And you just rebooted it all.
Yeah.
You can't do it again. Right. Right? You can't just fucking toss all that shit out and do it again.
It's essentially
going to lose everybody.
Yeah. They employed the nuclear option, and then they didn't even have a bomb shelter built. So.
Ooh, that was good. I like that.
Yeah, I just came up with that.
That was really good. Yeah, they get the nuclear option. They forgot to build the bomb shelter.
Like, as you were talking, like I was going to say, yeah, they use the nuclear option. I was sitting here, I was listening to you, and then on the other part, you know, hey, cool. That sounds good.
That made the whole conversation worth it. It really did.
Or is that how DC had it that better now? Like I said, I haven't read a DC book in a while.
Well, because the books you were reading are the good stuff. You mostly read the Batman stuff, and everybody tends to like Batman stuff.
Because they didn't fuck with Batman stuff.
Yeah, people were still kind of liking Green Lantern when Sinestro was the main GL, but then Geoff Johns left like a year or so later, and now the Green Lantern books are getting canceled.
Are they?
Because they expanded all, you know, because they have the Red Core, they had the Yellow Core, they had the
Blue Core.
Well, those guys never got a book. The fucking
Larkleys had a book.
Larkleys had a book.
Yeah,
yeah. All that shit's been getting canceled. Green Lantern Corps, which was the book that John Stewart was in, that's getting canceled. The Red Lanterns book that Guy Gardner was in, that's getting canceled. So basically, they're gonna pull it down to like one or two Green Lantern books. Where at one point they looked like they were gonna make one for the entire spectrum of color cores. That's how quickly. That was a little funny because Geoff Johns leaves and the whole thing starts to fall apart. Where with Aquaman, one of the reasons why he's so popular right now is because Geoff Johns and Ivan Reis built Aquaman up, left. Everybody was afraid it was going to all fall apart, but the incoming creative team of Jeff Parker and Paul Pelletier have continued to do good work, and they've managed to hold on to a good share of the readership.
Jeff Parker.
Yeah.
He's
the one who was co-writing with Greg Pak, I think it was, The Incredible Hulk and Incredible Hercules. And he's done a lot of other books, but not a lot of stuff that just like – never like A-list stuff. He's like one of those good, solid guys, but he's never broken out in a big way with anything to my recollection. But apparently he's selling some Aquaman books, so good for him.
Awesome. We love Aquaman.
Sure we do.
You read everything he pops up in.
Hey, remember when I started recording this and it was a Secret Wars recording?
Mike Zeck did a fantastic job on these books.
It's an hour and 15 minutes. We're going to try to go back into Secret Wars. No, I say the nay.
No, apparently it's his version of Aquaman.
Well, I would argue that Peter David's version of Aquaman was fucking Namor, so it kind of moots the fucking point. That's why I didn't like his take on Aquaman.
Really?
I did not like his Aquaman. Did you ever read Peter David's Aquaman?
Some of it.
It was boring.
I followed it from the Hulk when he went over to Aquaman.
Yeah, because I was still in love with the Hulk back then, so I totally was down for here. Honestly, I'll tell you what happened. Peter David was announced to be taking over the Aquaman book. And this was the one that started in, I think, 1991, 92. It was done by Sean McLaughlin and the guy who used to follow our podcast and stopped, unfortunately. We haven't heard from him in a while. I think he thought that it was going to be more about the Marvel Superheroes cartoon, and when we didn't really stick with that.
No basis of making this assumption.
Well, the fact that he came on and said, I love that cartoon when we first started the podcast, and then he followed us for a while, and then he stopped following us. Anyhow. So him and a guy named Ken Hooper, they were doing an Aquaman series. It ran for, I think, 12 issues or so. And they ended up canceling the series in order to allow Peter David to have a fresh start with the book. And then it drug on and on, his taking over the title. And finally it was released several years later as the four-issue miniseries Time and Tide.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty good because that was sort of doing a year one story for Aquaman. And he made a point of pulling some stuff from a book I liked called The Legend of Aquaman. And then he started his own run, and that's when he did that stupid crap with Charybdis where Aquaman got his hand eaten off by piranhas. And then he got the harpoon, and he had a bad attitude, and he had a full beard and long hair. Guess what?
Namor had a full beard and long hair a few years prior to that when John Byrne and Jay Lee were doing the book. And when you give Aquaman a bad attitude and you have him start sleeping with a white-haired girl instead of a blonde-haired girl, it's not that different from fucking Namor. Aquaman with a shitty attitude, all rough and rugged, is Namor.
So in other words, Aquaman cool, Namor.
Well, Aquaman by Peter David was Namor. I wouldn't say Aquaman cool because here's what happened. Because I knew that Peter David was going to take over the book, I wanted to get familiar with the character, get a chance to see what was around before, so that when Peter David came in, I could see what the difference was and see how much better it was. And I became a fan of Aquaman through select stories. Like, I really loved The Legend of Aquaman by Keith Giffen, Robert Loren Fleming, and Kurt Swan. And I think, what is that guy? Eric Shanower, I think, inked it. And then they did a miniseries that came afterwards that Al Bay inked that looked cooler because it had that more flashy image style inking. Mm-hmm. But the story was kind of dumb, so it didn't work for me. But then the McLaughlin series was pretty good because it was getting into a very introspective place with the character. It was dealing with a lot of stuff that had been lingering for a long time, like the murder of his son by Black Manta,
yeah,
and how he was going to deal with that, his relationship with Mera. So it was a pretty good book. And then I also read some of the Bronze Age stuff, the stuff that most Aquaman fans consider the classic material by Steve Skeets and Joe Aparo, where they actually had Black Manta murder Aquaman's son. It's damn good stuff. And Aparo is one of my childhood favorites as an artist. He's one of the best Aquaman artists, one of the best Batman artists ever. Huh?
Aparo?
Aparo, Tomato Tomorrow.
Aparo, Aparo.
Yeah. So, so I became an Aquaman fan based on the research I did prior to Peter David taking over. And then Peter David comes in. I followed the book for about a year, and it sucked, and I dropped it. And I kept trying it over and over again because I wanted to read the book. I loved Peter David. I would become a fan of Aquaman, and Peter David just did not get the character. And he was so desperate to make the character cool, he kept doing everything he could to make him a derivative of all the stupid, shitty anti-heroes that were popular at that time. And his run sucked. And I wasn't sorry when he fucking finally got booted off the damn book, because the book sold better than it had without Peter David. But it didn't sell good. And I'm sure there were a lot of Aquaman fans that weren't super happy with the way that they were handling the character. But he'd created new fans who were Peter David fans first, Aquaman fans second.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys abandoned the book after he was thrown off the title. And it just... You know, and also, the run was terrible because Eric Larson followed him, and Eric Larson's run was just dreadful. And then Dan Jurgens had an okay run, and the book got canceled. But the point is, Peter David's run, he was basically writing Namor, he wasn't writing Aquaman, and the parts where he was writing Aquaman, he wasn't doing it terribly well.
So would you say some writers are very company-specific, like Peter David's good when he's at Marvel? And maybe not as good when he's at DC?
I think, but here's the thing, Peter David had a great run on Supergirl, though. He had.
I read some of the Supergirl.
Which one? Okay. What did you read?
Which one is one where she starts becoming like some kind of angelic creature or some shit like that?
Was it with Gary Frank? Was still
I think
drawing?
So yeah.
So that was within the first year of his run of Supergirl.
Didn't she like more? Like she was more. I'm trying to remember because I remember you actually got me to read it.
Yeah, because it was a good book.
Because yeah, Peter.
First 50 issues of Supergirl. We actually talked about this on my Idlehead podcast because Ange, who's one of our responders, he's a commentator. He runs a blog called Supergirl Comic Box Commentary, where he talks about his fandom of Supergirl throughout the years. He hasn't liked some of the stuff that's been done in recent years, but he likes the classic Supergirl. He likes the Peter David. He likes a number of runs. And we talked about how he was really fond of that run. The first 50 issues were spectacular. And you, if you'd given him a chance, I think you'd like them. But the only issue for you is I know you like Gary Frank,
mm-hmm,
but I don't think that Leonard Kirk would work for you. And he took over the book within the first year and he stayed through most of the run. And I don't think his art would really suit you. Also, the book was a little bit softer in terms of tone than you might like, but he had some, like, I know you tend to prefer the dark twist,
yeah,
where something gets fucked up and you don't see it coming, and the twist, and he did that throughout those first 50 issues. After that, what he did is the book wasn't selling too great, so he tried to turn Supergirl into the DC animated version, the Bruce Timm version, like, yeah, the Riot Girl looking, and that didn't work. And then he tried to bring back the Silver Age Supergirl and have her team up with the then modern age Supergirl. It just wasn't the same. He couldn't, after he got away from the supernatural stuff, because what was cool about his run is that Superman's a character that never worked with supernatural elements. He's a character who never works great with horror elements. But Supergirl could, because she wasn't as defined as Superman. So you could go places with her, you couldn't go with Superman, and they were really
intriguing places to take that character. It made her much more of a figure in her own right, where she could function as something beyond just Superman's cousin, the girl Superman. And unfortunately, after Peter David got away from that material and he started trying to write a proper Supergirl book, he couldn't. He's not what he's built for. It's just like, what was the thing I was going to talk about? Oh, yeah, actually, shit, okay. This doesn't really, we'll get to that later on. I can't remember. It's just that Peter David is a good writer on certain properties. I think he must be good with the X-Books because he wrote X-Factor all those years, and people really like his take on those characters. He's a guy who needs to be able to isolate himself and work on the types of stories he wants to tell without a lot of editorial interference. But sometimes you just have a writer whose ideas of what he wants to write in a story isn't necessarily what's good for the character. Mm. And I think that happened with the Hulk as well, because that's a book that was great for a long time. But you got to admit, those last few years of Hulk weren't.
Yeah, they kind of were. Yeah,
I like the entire Mike Deodato run. I don't think was very good. The entire Angel Medina run.
I would say Angel Medina.
Yeah. You liked the Kubert stuff, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, and I was gone by then, so I didn't read any.
I actually enjoyed his earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. The McFarlane stuff when he was doing with McFarlane, the Purvey stuff I really enjoyed. But yeah, no, you're right. Near the end, I think he just kind of ran out of ideas because he had like these really great story arcs. The Madman story arc was always one of my favorites.
Which one was Madman?
Madman, where he's the villain.
Is that the guy who was there during the transition from Purvey to Del Kiyo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The one that has the famous hourglass covers.
Yeah.
It's a countdown. Yeah. Madman. Yeah. So that was a cool run. Fix It was my favorite character. That was the version of the Hulk that I really, really enjoyed when he was writing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did a lot of fucked up shit, like, you know, the Hulk banging Marla, Rick Jones's soon to be wife, and just. He banged her.
Well, no, I know the Hulk banged her. I still don't understand why you're so. No, but what I'm saying is, we had this argument before, too. Mr. Fix It was having a relationship with Marla. Then he stopped being Mr. Fix-It and went off and did his thing. And then Marlo turned up, hooked up with Rick Jones. The fact that Bruce had been in a relationship with her before Rick, it's not like he screwed her after she was with Rick. So I don't understand where the problem is. She just went from one guy to another guy.
Dude, she got the D from the Hulk, not Bruce.
I get that. I understand where you're going with that.
Rick would have to tie a board to his ass to not fall in, trust me.
Oh, man. No, well, that leads us to our podcast on the prison pit.
No, we're not going there just yet.
The prison pit.
That's a nice tie-in.
You told me in the car ride over here that you wanted to talk about the Jason Momoa Aquaman image.
Yeah, that's Namor.
That is so Namor.
I don't care what Aquafiend feed freaks out there screaming at. No, that's Aquaman. That's fucking Namor. If he's Aquaman, number one, isn't he blonde? Like in every version of him?
Here's the thing, though. If you look at the picture...
Please don't tell me it's reimagined, because I fucking hate when they say that.
Well, let me just say, though, that image, and it's the same with the Wonder Woman image, it's heavily desaturated, and that one much more so than the Wonder Woman one. When you emphasize the color, if you go in there and you try to blow up the flare a little bit,
he's blonde.
It's obvious that he's wearing gold armor, and... I'm not sure he might actually have some blonde highlights in the hair, but he still looks so much like Namor.
Aquaman with highlights so much.
Well, though. Aquaman is an islander with tribal tattoos and such. That's still pre-Namor-ish.
No, he's an Atlantean.
But underwater. They're supposed to be bringing in a bunch of island lore, though. Momoa's been talking about that. Like, I think Samoan mythology is going to get played into there.
But so you don't think they're bringing that in because of the actor they got to play it?
I know it's because they're bringing the actor.
I don't believe they initially thought, okay, so we're going to put in some Samoan. No. I think it was he looks Samoan, so now we gotta add that to the story, which if I was an Aquaman fan, I would find like that kind of sucks. Like you're literally erasing his true past to create a new past to fit your movie franchise.
Oh, no, but that's exactly it. You've read the Namor origin story.
Yeah.
They're like indigenous people underneath the ocean, right? So
it's really not that big of a stretch if you're going to do a Namor movie to make him part of these a more native. I'm trying to find a polite way of saying it. If his being underwater, people who were. How's a good way of saying this? So if you just give him a bunch of island lore and tie him with island culture, but see, it's not that far of a leap. Where Aquaman's whole thing was, he was the kind of white bread American hero who happened to be involved with Atlantis and happened to be in the ocean.
I always thought Atlantis was where near Greece in that area because it always kind of handed itself to that lore. I never saw Atlantis like out near the Hawaiian Islands. Any time I've ever read anything about Atlantis, they almost made it sound like a Greek city just advanced.
But that might be
White, you know what? Jesus.
I think that might be like white Jesus. I think it's because there are people who
always time they talk, dude. Any creation they show of Atlantis, literally they use.
It looks like
Greek,
the Pantheon.
Yeah,
shit.
Pantheon.
It's all that's what I'm saying is that you've got a bunch of white people drawing from white culture to depict Atlantis. That doesn't mean that Atlantis legends are actually from
white
that
people
area.
Created Aquaman. I'm pretty sure that's where they were going with it.
Well, I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying
Wait,
is
are
you're
you
trying to
saying
say that Atlanteans are supposed to be white people. I'm not sure they're necessarily supposed to be white, but they've been depicted as white folk for decades in comics, both at Marvel and at DC.
But no. See, the thing is, though, when you see it, Namor, about. When I saw Namor, I can see your island influence. Like, he looked different. Aquaman was always that. I always pictured him as some Greek guy, descendants of Greeks.
Yeah, no. He's white bread. He's arrogant.
Yeah.
There's no arguing that.
So I mean, if he had like
Greeks blonde?
I don't know. Could they be?
I don't know why you're on this.
Aryan
Greek. I don't know why you're on this whole Greek kick anyway. That's not the point. The point is, regardless of what kind of heritage he's supposed to have and what the proximity of Atlantis to the Mediterranean is, which is Semitic people anyway, so they wouldn't be Aryan.
Yeah. Greek people are not blonde hair.
Yeah, but the point is that he's a guy who, in pretty much every incarnation, either grew up as an American in the United States. Or was at some point raised and civilized by white guys in America, where Namor is always supposed to be the other. He's supposed to be a representative of a culture that is alien to the Western world and hostile to the Western world.
Let me ask you, has DC ever said where Atlantis is located?
Yeah, actually, I'd have to go look it up, but it's some vague
place. Right outside the California coast or
something? Guess what? It's in the Atlantic Ocean. Surprise, surprise. I think that it's somewhere between North America and Europe, if I recall correctly. There's actually an Atlas of the DC Universe that Mayfair Games put out years back that's been referenced oft times in the years since it was released. And I want to say that Atlantis was somewhere between North America and Europe.
See, and the way I've always thought, anytime I heard about the Atlanteans, it was a Greek culture. Not saying Greeks. A Greek culture.
I don't know why you keep pushing the Greek thing, though. Because it's
no, I don't understand. So wait, are you saying that Jason Momoa is or is not a good Aquaman? What the fuck are you trying to say?
He's a great Namor. He's a lousy Aquaman. That's the main point. You look at him, you do not see Aquaman. No. He resembles in no way an incarnation of Aquaman with the exception of Peter David. And one of the reasons why I had issues with Peter David's Aquaman is because he wasn't Aquaman. He was writing fucking Namor. So we've got Namor, which is what we've been saying the whole time. So it's almost like we're having an argument when we're ultimately going to the same place.
That's what I was trying to figure out what we're arguing about. Yeah. I don't think we're arguing.
All this Greek stuff in there. It's like, I don't know where that's got to be.
100% turn your fucking phone down while we're recording. 100%.
Same with the computer.
And also, turn the swishiest jacket of all time off during the podcast. You have the noisiest clothes today, man.
Mr. Fix-It always finds a way to make noises in the background.
Well,
he's either snoring or rustling or shifting in his chair.
Well, no, because you're like, I don't know where this is Greek. I'm just saying the look, the aesthetic of it was always portrayed as that.
Not particularly. I guess they've got some statues. Greek people have statues, I guess. Why don't you just say Aryan? They're honkies. They're undersea honkies.
They should be undersea honkies or they should not be
undersea
honkies?
I think the DC's Atlanteans are undersea honkies, and Marvel's Atlanteans are specifically
blue
made
people.
To be foreign to the Western world.
So they have pointy ears.
Yeah, it's more okay for Jason Momoa to play Namor, but that's not really my issue anyway. The point is they're using Momoa's ethnic heritage to play up the otherness of Aquaman, to play up the exoticness of Aquaman.
Yeah,
but that's not.
So is he
going to
be like the angry Aquaman?
So
they haven't said angry
rule
Aquaman,
the seven seas,
but when a guy is glaring at you with a trident in his hand, you kind of feel some.
So he's not going to do that shit where he like touches the temple and talks to a fucking tuna fish.
I don't see that happening. No.
Or is he actually going to be like,
You know what? You know who I feel bad for in all this?
Mm.
Jason Momoa. Talk about fucking typecasted. Which, I don't, is it typecasted or typecasted? Either or, right?
Potato potato.
They're like,
he passed the present tense.
Hey, let's get Jason Momoa. We've got to make Aquaman now a fucking barbarian underwater. Like, yeah. Apparently that's all
Conan
he can do.
Underwater.
All he can do is play barbarian. Well, like, no. Like, they couldn't have given him a nice haircut and made him semi-articulate and just... They could have made him
Aquaman. He may be articulate. Wait a second. That's like Obama looking clean kind of comments there now. Hold on now. We have no reason to believe that Jason Momoa won't be perfectly articulate. He's not... We don't know that he's going to...
No, that's not what I meant.
He's going to come out just like Game of Thrones. They're like, Umcha.
No, I meant come out with the pompadour, like, you know, the nice cut hair and clean him up. Why does he have to be all grungy? Why does he have to be all grungy with, you know?
Because that's what Jason Momoa looks like and where how he works the best.
And they tat him up.
He doesn't clean up that great.
They have to put tattoos all over Jason Momoa.
He actually already has tattoos.
Now who's backpedaling ass?
Huh?
Wait. Is he making an appearance in the movie, or is he actually part of the movie?
They're not clear on that.
They're not being.
But
yeah,
I don't think
they'd
make a full costume for him and then put his picture on Twitter if he wasn't going to appear in the Superman Batman.
So it's going to be like their version of a stinger type thing, like
could be. We don't know. They're not being clear on.
No, it wouldn't be a stinger. They wouldn't be showing us previews of him.
Why
if it was
would
a
the first picture of the first character related to this multi-picture franchise be Aquaman if you weren't going to promote the fact that Aquaman is going to be in that movie?
Yeah.
And you're letting people know, especially with the what was it? He will rule the seven, or he will gather, save this. What was that line?
One ring to rule them all. I don't know.
Doesn't it just say rule the seven seas?
Something like that. Well, they make a point of referencing seven, and typically there's a strong association with the number seven and the JLA, but it's vague enough to where it could mean the seven seas as well. But again, why would you put that out ahead of Batman v Superman, when his movie isn't even coming out until like 2017 or some shit? It's because he's going to be in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
They're not costume testing him if he's not going to be in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. It's almost starting to feel, now it's starting to feel more like a JLA-ish movie where they're.
It is a JLA movie. It's an origin story for the JLA to a large degree. They're going to be setting up these guys being around.
That could kind of work.
Movie. It might work.
But then that means Affleck has to stay around for the franchise. Then you can't fucking flip Batman's.
Yeah, you can.
You think so?
They can flip Batman.
After this one, they do the next one, and it's like, oh, we got a new
Batman. I think people are
Batman.
Desensitized to it now.
Christian Bale is the only guy who's lasted more than two Batman movies, dude. And he only did three.
And he was terrible.
He wasn't great. People mocked that. I mean, yeah, people really mock his performance in that
movie.
Dude,
people love Christian Bale.
Some people love
Christian
Bale.
I don't know why people love Christian Bale so much. I don't get it.
Didn't we just talk about this the other day where I rewatched them? The first one is okay. The second one's fantastic, but it's because it's Heath Ledger. He actually made the second one.
No, honestly,
and
I think
the third one just drags for fucking ever.
No, see, I disagree. I think The Dark Knight works because everybody is bringing a strong performance. I know that Mac would have issues with the use of Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Stupid movie.
But he didn't like the movie overall.
The movie
but I think
dumb.
Everybody involved. I think Aaron Eckhart was great in that one.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's the best of. Well, I don't know.
Christian Bale
was probably the weakest link of that group because I think he was better in Batman Begins than he was in The Dark Knight. But it didn't matter because everybody else, including the script writers, were very much more on their game with that movie. Because
the third one, I rewatched it and
it's
so fucking.
Hey, guys, check it out. We're hacking everybody's cell phones and we're going to use their cell phones to give off these like bad radar waves so I can navigate this building. That movie fucking sucked.
That was the second one. No, dude, the third one, dude.
That was the second one.
Around,
that was fucking Dark Knight.
They're driving around with the nuke bomb, dude. No. They're driving around the city that they trapped every cop underground, and they're driving around the city with a nuclear bomb while they're holding hostages.
Hey, you know, hold on. I'm shutting this down. We're not talking about these stupid fucking Batman movies anymore.
Well, you're saying that we're desensitized to the fact that they can flip Batmans. I think if this movie does good, they have to stay with Affleck. He has to stay Batman through the franchise.
No,
I think you're wrong.
So? No.
I don't think anybody cares.
Batman is bigger than any single actor that has ever played him. Basically, you really just needed Michael Keaton to prove that you could make a serious Batman movie with Michael Keaton in it. The fact that Michael Keaton's in the first Batman movie and it works tells you a lot about the audience's acceptance of anybody in the Batman
movie. Dude, I remember that movie. Trust me. I remember going in the first fucking 5 minutes of the movie. There was no bang pow. He threw somebody over the ledge. I remember I thought he killed him. And then it's like, oh, no. He actually grappled them and he held on. And I remember thinking, holy shit, like this is a badass Batman movie. Like, I remember being there at the opening, everybody freaking out.
But do you remember back in 89 when everybody was super skeptical that
Mr. Mom, yeah. Mr. Mom's playing Batman. Oh, yeah, I remember. Dude, I thought the same thing, too. I thought he was going to be, you know, goofy and funny, which he did when he was Bruce Wayne, and it worked, that quirkiness.
Right, I agree. I thought he was a very good Bruce Wayne.
And then when he was Batman, I actually liked his Batman better. Kristen Bale's, I just didn't like that angry voice for every word I say.
What happened is we all saw American Psycho, and Patrick Bateman reminded everybody of Bruce Wayne. You saw him being Patrick Bateman.
He's a sociopath.
And you're like, if you can just dial that back a little bit, you have a perfect Batman. And people championed him as Batman for like, what, 8 years before he got cast in the role? And so everybody got what they wanted. They finally got Patrick Bateman to play Batman. And he wasn't very good, but he was good enough.
He wasn't
George Clooney. And he wasn't, and Joel Schumacher wasn't around anymore. Huh?
But he was a good Bruce Wayne. I liked
his
Bruce Wayne.
I really hated his Bruce Wayne. Really? I hated his Bruce Wayne because I never bought his American accent. He always sounded ridiculous to me when he had this kind of pseudo-American accent that a lot of British guys do where they just kind of overplay the looseness a little bit. He was kind of too nasally. He was actually better as Patrick – if he'd done Patrick Bateman again, like just recycled that performance, he'd been a better Bruce Wayne than what he brought to the actual Batman movies, especially by the time you get to the third one. But – the two most important ones is Michael Keaton proved that as long as you put somebody competent in the Batman suit, and I'm not trying to dismiss his performance, I'm saying that it's very hard to imagine Mr. Mom as Batman. But
and he pulled
the
it off.
Suit worked, yeah. And the performance was strong enough.
And you can do dark. You can do dark Batman. Yeah.
So, but it also proved that Batman was bigger than the person playing him. And when Christian Bale was cast in Batman Begins, and they were doing it straight again, they were showing, look, we're going back to the subject material where we're going to be more faithful to the comics than we'd ever been, because the Schumacher and the Burt movies were not very faithful to the comic books. They took some of the feel, but they were still much goofier. They still had a stronger influence from the 60s TV show and from Silver Age comics, where the new Batman movies were firmly grounded in bronze and modern age Batman stories, and they drew a lot of elements from that. That's why you saw guys like Lucius Fox and such. But the main issue was, can we sell Batman again? Can we sell Batman with a nobody? Because Christian Bale was a nobody before Batman. He was an actor who appeared in movies that were artistically well-received, but he was not a name. He's still not a name. Batman still does not carry a movie, Terminator Salvation being a prime example of that. But he pulled off Batman, and what was important is Batman, not Christian Bale, not Michael Keaton, not Val Kilmer, not George Clooney. As long as you can properly sell Batman, it's bigger than the actor, and it's bigger than Ben Affleck. I think they got Ben Affleck there to help kind of just go to break people loose of their being stuck on Christian Bale. And then once he's done that, then they'll probably want to flip into a new actor as quickly as possible.
So you do what? You do Batman versus Superman or whichever, and in the JLA movies, same Superman, same Aquaman, same Wonder Woman, new Batman.
Yeah, because you've got Henry Cavill under X number of films. You've got Gal Gadot. I'm pretty sure Jason Momoa is perfectly happy to commit to
three-picture deal.
Yeah, exactly. Ben Affleck is a extremely successful lead actor who carries movies, directs movies. So he does not need to be Batman for four pictures. He is really, honestly, he's like a Robert Downey Jr. in the making, because if they feel the need to keep him in those movies after whatever he's been contracted for, which I guarantee you, got to be no more than three movies, probably less than that. He's going to be getting island money, or he'll be able to demand island money potentially. And they don't want to pay island money. I think they need Ben Affleck for the first movie or two. Get him for Batman v Superman. Maybe get him for what's the other one? Because they got – anyway,
the Dawn of Justice.
Honestly, it might just be Batman v Superman, because you're going to have to do the two Justice League movies, and that could be his three pictures if they were so inclined, if they got him on a three-picture deal. But if they haven't, he might just do the one and be gone. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that you're necessarily married to Ben Affleck at all.
You're pretty quiet, Mac.
I think he's tired of having this conversation, because we're kind of retreading.
I've said my piece on Aquaman, and I've said my piece.
Well, I know we were talking about.
We did like Aquaman. A 9-part podcast about this already. So we already talked about these movies.
Well, like I said,
So Robert Downey Jr. Dropped that new. He dropped a poster. Did you guys see that?
No. Yeah, but that's not the big news. He's promising big news in X number of days.
Correct. About what? So are we going to take any guesses on the number? Even though by the time this ever airs anywhere, the news would probably already be out.
Yeah, I have no idea where this would air, and honestly, I don't care. I don't even know. Necessarily want to know. Maybe he's.
It's got to be Iron Man 4, right? It's got to be Iron Man 4.
No, everybody. No, look, man. That's been teased so much, I wouldn't dare to speculate on an Iron Man 4. I just wouldn't dare, because everybody has been jumping on Iron Man 4 rumors for like a year, year and a half now. I'm not taking the bait. It could be, hey, look at the Vision.
This is what Robert, he's going to find out what we're talking about.
To announce the Vision for always.
Does he even know what we're talking about?
Not really.
So Robert Downey Jr. posted this picture of just him in the Iron Man armor.
Okay.
It's a new press photo.
Yeah.
And he says, you've been good, so here's a new hashtag Iron Man poster from at Avengers. And on the DL, that means down low, big announcement in 8 days, ... hashtag get excited. I think that could mean
Iron Man. He's a good hype man, dude. He's really pushing.
Well, yeah, but he's a cock tease too. There's no guarantee. It could.
You think he's teasing like another one of his shitty movies?
Nah, the Judge probably too. Not.
Yeah, the fucking Judge too.
Oh, well, we're all really excited for that next Sherlock Holmes
Chaplin
movie.
4. Chaplin 2.
The Scamp Returns.
It could be something as simple as a Vision character poster. It doesn't
or a
have
new
to be
armor.
Big. No, they've already got the new armor. They've shown that for Age of Ultron, and they haven't built armor for Civil War yet, I wouldn't think.
See, I've stayed away from that stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, don't care, honestly. Really? At this point, I just want to see the movie. I'm tired. I don't want to be any more news. I don't want any more trailers.
How far away are we? A month
there's
or so?
A news,
like 2 months, ain't it? February, March.
No, it's
April,
May.
Like 3 months?
March, April, May. Oh, it's early May, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, like May
a little over 2 months, yeah.
Or six.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm done. I'm just going to wait and see the movie. That's it.
It'll be leaked any day now on the internet.
Oh, by the way, you did see that Paquita got the helicarrier.
No, she did not.
She totally did. She's building it now.
How much was it?
I don't want to know.
I heard it was like
retarded
expensive.
She had enough points to just cash them in and get it for like free.
Oh, that's cool.
And she got it from the VIP club, so she got it like a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where they haven't even gone on
did
sale
you save
the
box?
Store yet.
$350.
I think we still have the box.
Yeah, I saved up. Dude, I found out. So I talked to someone who's big into Legos because I bought my little one, the TIE Fighter, whatever, and I built it for him. And the first thing he told me was, don't throw away the box or the bags and anything. I'm like, really? He's like, the Legos they can replace, but apparently it's the boxes, even the damn plastic bags that they want to keep, especially the books. That's what certain collectors,
oh,
that's what
the
they
book
want.
Is an like an inch and 2 inches thick.
Really?
It's enormous.
Yeah, it looked cool as shit, dude. I thought it looked cool. I just it's
$350.
Yeah. Well, she's built like the computer bank in the lowest level, so she's still pretty early into it.
Yeah, no, I heard it was very intricate.
Yeah,
like the build.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's freaking crazy.
Yeah, somebody was telling me. I think I know someone else who had bought it from the Galleria in. He's a collector. He kind of does like Paquita where he builds them, but he glues his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like a room full of them.
Oh, he's one of those guys that they were mocking in the Lego movie there.
Pretty much, yeah. And he was telling me that he had got started and it was just like, he was like, holy shit, it's a huge project for him. So he told me he was to swing by when he's done and I told him.
Wait, you see too, it not only comes with a set of minifigs, but also these micro
that
figs.
Tiny, yeah, I heard about
tiny
that.
Vehicles and
so
such.
You can put them walking around the Hurricane.
Yeah.
So are you going to play with it when she's not looking around?
No, what I do
get
is I'll hold on to some of the key ones. Like I have a little Wonder Woman from one of those kits. I of course have the Martian Manhunter one, you know, which is great by the way. It looks really awesome. So yeah, I actually built a my own little Brett figure, and one of these days I need to put it up online. So yeah, I keep a few of hers. I pull them off the side and I keep them for myself. But mostly, it just goes in her bins.
One of the best places to go to, and this sounds crazy, flea markets.
Hmm.
We go to a flea market, and there's guys that sell just Lego characters. Like there's like a whole little
culture of it.
Because I was able to, I got all the Green Lantern Corps, Red Lantern, Yellow. I got a bunch of those. I have same thing. I just keep the figures, the individual figures, and I have them on the show just because they're pretty cool. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of cool. I saw the Manhunter you're talking about. I remember I was like, oh, I got to get that for him on time. But he was missing a hand. I was like, wow.
Well, and another issue too is that it's the new 52 Martian Manhunter. So you've still got the option of making the classic Manhunter down the line and putting that in a set somewhere. But I like the new 52 design. So I'm happy with it.
Really? I haven't seen it.
It's cool. I've still got one. I've got a Manton bag. And then I've got a loose one that I keep.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
He went there with it. Well, like I said, Legoland, dude, you got to take her to Legoland.
Hey.
That's their mecca.
Hey, I left a comment on your blog.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey, I listened to your podcast. I left a comment on your blog.
Yeah, it was okay. It was better than most of them.
Maybe you can use my comment in a future podcast.
I will.
So I was hoping.
Illegal Machine says, you're ultra cool.
I hope he didn't put like an additional one, so he put the one on there.
I put one comment on your blog. Ooh, this new 52 Martian Manhunter.
We're going to do some Jim Shooter podcast, right?
At some point, yeah. Well, I'd like to do some Valiant stuff in the future, too.
Oh, yeah. Marvel Superheroes podcast.
Yeah, I know. But, Secret Wars.
I find the whole Jim Shooter, from how he got on with Marvel and how he left Marvel, to just be very fascinating. Jim Shooter is a very fascinating character.
Mm-hmm. I was a big Jim Shooter apologist for quite a few years because, you know, I thought that what Marvel produced under his regime was some of the best stuff they'd produced ever, with potential with Stan and Jack. But after that, it's the Jim Shooter years. And the problem is, I've been reading more and more about him, and he did some whack ass, nonsensical stuff, and it's very hard to get behind him. So, in some respects, he's a great editorial force, he's a very intelligent in how he approaches properties and the management of properties, like what Marvel had, like what Valiant had. But in other respects, he's kind of a fanatical, fascistic nut who has no business being in a creative medium at all. And that's probably why he, as much of a positive impact as he's had in comics, why he can't get work these days, because nobody wants to work with him.
So he burned enough bridges.
He
salted the earth as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's why I want to talk about him.
Yeah, because he's a fascinating individual.
Yeah, his Valiant stuff. I just actually, Fryhole gave me a bunch of the new stuff. Not the new Valiant. I don't remember. I don't know what it's under, the moniker it's under.
No, still, it's Valiant. Now. They bought the name Valiant. They can use the name Valiant.
And
now.
So he gave me literally the first like 6 or 7 trades of all the books to read. And so I started reading them. But I started kind of reading some of the older stuff as well. And man, that Solar just, you can't touch it.
So there was a strong Alan Moore influence in what Jim Shooter was doing with Solar, but he's always been good about making sure to do it in such a way that it connects with a broad audience.
Yeah.
And that you connect emotionally, where Alan Moore I've always found difficult to feel what he's writing. I can appreciate it intellectually, but I don't feel where he's going.
Like the Barry Windsor Smith stuff?
And it doesn't hurt when Barry Windsor Smith is drawing your shit either, man.
Yeah.
And also, he had Perlin and Dot Bob Layton sort of aping Windsor Smith for the stuff that he wasn't doing himself. Because Smith was only doing this insert in the middle of each issue of Solar. I think it was something like 4 to 8 pages. There was telling in the first 9 issues, I think it was, the origin of Solar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was surrounded by material drawn by Bob Perlin, who is not the most, he's we talked about him recently. He's journeyman is a complimentary term for what he did. But Bob Layton managed to ink him to look enough like Barry Windsor Smith that it all fit together as a piece. And the art didn't detract from the story as it normally would have with somebody like Perlin at the wheel. So,
I would definitely, we should definitely touch base on some of that stuff.
Yeah,
that would
be fun to read. I've got it stacked up. I want to get to it. I don't think
how it'll much of the Solar stuff do you have? Because I have like the first 9 and that's it.
Most of what I have is what you gave me. Especially because I kept having these instances where you would loan me stuff and then I would already have got it in a trade. So I doubled up. So I just stopped buying all the Valiant trades and now I don't know what I've got and what I don't have. And I've hardly read any of it. So I have to sit down and sort that out and we got to get together and figure out what we're going to read.
Cool.
But yeah, Shooter tried to have his little run at Dark Horse too because they went ahead and licensed the Gold Key properties, Magnus, Solar, and some other
Turok.
One?
I think it was Turok.
Was it Turok that Dark Horse had?
I believe so. They
because
did.
Now those properties are all over at Dynamite, and they've got Turok, Dr. Solar, Dr. Spectra or something like that, the one that Mark Waid's doing, and another one that I can't recall. But they're all Gold Key properties.
No, I don't. I haven't read it.
But Shooter tried to go home again with Valiant at Dark Horse, and it didn't work out. And part of it was that he didn't have... I don't think that
he...
What's
a good example of why people can't work with him?
He's a control freak. He will micromanage your artwork to death. We'll discuss this in more detail when we get to Secret Wars, I think.
Secret Wars? Oh, we're going to do Secret Wars?
We're going to do Secret Wars, yeah.
Okay, the first one? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, please, the first one, please.
Okay.
No more
than that. They're coming out with a third one, aren't they?
And that's something I actually want to talk about within the context of that podcast. Okay. So it's another reason why I want to try to get to that as soon as we can.
Stop. Banner time?
Well, but again, with Mark Ruffalo, they could probably have more banner time, and we'd be happy about that. That was one of the big problems. But I liked Ed Norton, but I didn't love him like everybody loves Mark Ruffalo. Yeah,
and Ed Norton to me wasn't Bruce Banner. He didn't feel like it.
I wanted somebody like an Adrian Brody. I didn't really feel like he got that character in the way that you needed him to be.
It sounds like Adrian Brody's going to be in a Marvel movie at some point because people keep suggesting him for everything.
No, that's just me.
He was suggested as Peter Parker for a while, too.
Al Pacino. Now,
that would have been bad.
That's not a quote-unquote Marvel movie, but...
Well, Al Pacino wants to be in a Marvel movie so bad.
I love that. I love just his unbridled enthusiasm. You know, Marvel, they listen. That's one of the great things, is Marvel actually pays attention to that kind of stuff. I guarantee you they're trying to find a place to put Al Pacino. He might be better in Mordo. That could be a whole thing going on right there.
Well, he was really good in... As a devil's advocate.
Yeah. I don't know if good is necessarily the word I'd use, but entertaining, certainly. Yes.
Whoa, wait. And who was the protagonist in Devil's Advocate?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be kind of a cock block for Keanu, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no, if Keanu was...
Or a pseudo-sequel?
Yeah.
Kind of like the whole thing where he kept doing movies with old Sandra... help me out here. Fuck.
Can't Sandra Bullock?
Who cares?
Sandra Bullock.
Who cares? This sounds like the worst idea.
I thought you were in love with this chick. Didn't you go see a movie just because it's a Sandra Bullock movie?
Yep. I like Sandra Bullock. I don't think I've ever seen a movie specifically because she was in it.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
I like her. Especially in Demolition Man when she's still, you know, all jumping around.
Oh, Demolition Man. Yoga great pants. Movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I don't remember ever seeing a movie specifically for her, though. I think you must be confusing her with somebody else.
I'm mistaken. Maybe somebody else who told me they literally went to go see... What was her last movie that came out? Not Gravity. The one before Gravity. It's a chick flick.
Not The Blind Side, are you?
No. The chick flick with the fat girl. Melissa.
Oh, The Heat.
The Heat.
No, I wanted to see it. I still haven't seen it. It just looks like a funny movie, but I still haven't gotten around
because,
to it. And I can see
because
it on
Sandra
cable
Bullock's
now.
In it. Because Sandra Bullock's in it.
Yeah. Funny in that movie together?
I like Melissa McCarthy.
Gosh.
Not on everything.
Get me started on Melissa McCarthy. She's not funny. She's Kevin James. Everyone stop.
She was on Gilmore Girls as Sookie. I loved her in Gilmore Girls as Sookie.
She's the worst, and I'm glad she's already both flaming out.
Dude, she's going to be in Ghostbusters, the reboot.
Is she going to be Stay Puff Man?
You had to go for the fat joke.
No, I had to go for the fat joke. She had to go for the fat joke, because that's what she does in every movie. She's the big, dumb, clumsy... Kevin James, don't say Chris Farley, because people try to say, oh, she's like the female Chris Farley. No. Nope. No. She's the female Kevin James, a.k.a. not funny. One shtick, not funny.
Well, because they're supposed to reboot the Ghostbusters with all females, and Bill Murray gave his blessing on it. Because he was never going to do the third one, dude. They were throwing everything at him.
There's an interesting story, I haven't had a chance to read yet, on Grantland, about who's more famous now. Bill Murray, the actor, or Bill Murray, the internet meme?
Depends on your age. If you're under 30, the meme.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because when was the last time Bill Murray put out... So, they went down the list of movies he came out with, and it's just like, I hadn't heard of any of them. Ever. I mean,
there is a fair few Jim Jarmusch and Sofia Coppola artsy movies people wouldn't have seen.
So, nobody's seen any of that stuff.
But as far as mainstream comedies, I don't even recall him trying a mainstream comedy in the longest time.
Except when he popped in Zombieland
as the meme.
As an internet meme, right? Yeah. Exactly. I thought it was interesting. I haven't had a chance to read it. It looked pretty lengthy, but it was funny. Like, just the question itself being posed was like, Bill Murray isn't Bill Murray anymore.
I'm going to have a controversial statement I'm going to make here. I like Bill Murray.
How's that controversial?
Like, what do you mean?
I don't love Bill Murray. I don't worship him, but I don't think he's one of the greatest comedians ever of all time. I dislike him. I think he's an interesting fellow. I think he's one of these guys, though, that's done some fucked up shit that everybody decides they want to overlook. And when you revisit a lot, I don't particularly like Ghostbusters. Now, how that really? Controversial position? I didn't really like it that much when I saw it back in the 80s.
You hate Gremlins too, though, man. You're like,
Gremlins 2 was great. I love the new batch. I didn't really like the original.
You're very spiteful when it comes to 80s movies for some reason. You're in a very dark place in your life, I guess.
Some movies hit me and some movies didn't. You know, I could see a Howard the Duck or the Highlander and be like, yeah. And then Ghostbusters is like, oh.
Hey, did Marvel ever do Highlander? I just want an excuse to sit around and watch Highlander 1.
We don't need an excuse. We can watch
My
Highlander.
My name is Duncan MacLeod, and I'm a Cloud Clan.
Well,
won't watch it.
We'll watch Highlander. I've got it on DVD.
I think it's still on Netflix.
My better half. It's like one of her favorite movies.
Actually, I think it's one of the movies they're about to yank off Netflix if they haven't already.
Yeah.
I think it's on the list.
I've got a hold on it, so we're
okay. I think
they
did. I think they already yanked it. They yanked a bunch of movies.
Fucking 50 movies, I think. Some shit. Really large amount like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But they recycle them. They'll be back in like a quarter or two quarters. Because I've noticed that some movies disappear and then they'll reappear 6 months. Because, I mean, that's the only thing that I don't like about Netflix is it would be nice if they stayed longer. Because who really has enough time when you're binge-watching all those damn TV shows to watch a movie? Like, I don't have time. I'm binge-watching on Supernatural right now. I don't have time to watch a couple of movies that are about to be knocked off the queue, so... but my better half loves the Highlander movies, so mm-hmm. that would be fun.
Sorry. Did we wrap?
Yeah, we're done.
Anything else we want to talk about?
No, that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I... This week, we received a Google Plus follow from Brian Epidaka. And Twitter follows from Antonio D. Carter, Army of Skanks, bestbooks.ca, Bradley J. Tim, The Documentary Dude, Google Facts, Hall of Justice, Iron Cobra, Langdon Weiss, Lord Horsticles, Luke Giaconetti, Mario Y. Peshev, Marvel World, Mr. X, trademark, Party Roll Podcast, Pure BS Podcast, Reese Finley, Sachindananda, Stig T. Broderson, Superhero of Steel, and Tanya Malone. We received Twitter favorites from Aaron Myers, Alexis Gueros, Amino Acid Comic Book, Amy Royland, Andy Forsberg, Anthony Durso, Baked English Podcast, Ben Cohen, Beth Malley, Ed Moore, Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks Podcast co-host Annalise at Wiretech Girl, C. Miller, Charles Washington, who also said much thanks, City War Comic, Count Druncula, Christina at Poison Blowfish, David Fior, David Golding Artist, Devourer of Words, Elijah Medge, Fanboy Nation, Greg Araujo, Jonathan Villanueva, Justin Quizon, Kim Doyle, Kyle Pettit, Longbox Graveyard, Luke Giaconetti, Marvel Incorporated, Marzo Khalif, Michelle Carr, Moldwitch, Mythmaking Etc., In Atsuko at DJ Lyrica, Oscar Olalde, Perfect Chaos, Pirate Mike, Plop Cartoons, Podfellas Podcast, Podfellas.com, Pop Culture Case Study, Professor Riptide, Run with Comics, Skip to the End Podcast, Small Time, Superboy at A Living Weapon, Thuya Masani, Tony Walton, Wetsuit at Lucid Cadet, Extendify, and Zinquitech, plus retweets from Actionagogo, Professor Alan Middleton, Ange, The Anti-Fascist, Between the Pages, Chris William, Pure BS Podcast, Rhonda at Woman DRVR Rhonda, Science Faction Podcast, who also said, hey, thanks, and Siskoid. For Follow Fridays, we were endorsed by the First Bat, Outside Longbox, Samto Okeki, and Stephen Courtney. Meanwhile, Adam Blackmoon added us to his hashtag Tuesday Titans, hashtag Team Thursday, hashtag Saturday Sleepers, and hashtag Sunday Comics. Beth Malley sent us a picture and said, thanks to my top interactors. Okay. Siskoid said of episode 36, The Ultimate Allegiance, I'm late by a few episodes. Got to catch up because I'm not waiting long to listen to a Secret Wars episode. Wait, it's not a Secret Wars episode? Well, in for a penny. Jason Martinez let us know that he was listening to the Hawkeye and New Black Widow episode. Eternal Rage said of it, got to go. The best part was the Mac rant over the credits. Bring on the Eye of Agamotto. Wasn't so much of a dud. Still enjoy the banter. Just subject matter is straining. I'd gladly listen to Kazar again. Chris Thompson of the Pop Culture Hounding podcast wrote, just wanted to let you know I finished listening to the Hawkeye podcast on the walk home tonight, and I was impressed. You guys have improved so much, and the show was tight. I know it can be a drag at times, but I think starting on Origins is good. Snake Oil Comics wrote, checked out episode 37. Great show. Are you guys on Stitcher? Makes it much easier for people on mobile to listen to your down, and not everyone has an iPhone. Kyle Binning wrote, I would totally be on board for contributing to the two Ohotmu entries, so maybe we can get that podcast going after all. Finally, we have a new feature, the Mary Marvel Marching Society. This is for Twitter followers who both promote us through favorites and through retweets. They are Ace and Eights Press, Adam Blackmoon, Al Mega First Crusader, Angel Velasquez, Army of Skanks, Ask the Moon, Charlton Hero, Cheryl at Piggy Mouth, Chris Thompson, CJ, Comic Relief Podcast, Comic Syndicate, Comical Podcast, Dead Vinyl, DS and RS, Eric Grundler, Eternal Rage, Fantastiverse, Felicia, Film Reel Podcast, Firestorm Fan, The First Bat, Future Primitive, Hall of Justice at HOJ Comics, Joseph Crawford, Josias Arbello, Kanish Kabbalah, Cord Industries, Land of the Creeps, Lizzo at It's Lizzo, who added, thank you for the shout out, Lord Horsticles, Martin Vincent, Miss Impolitic, Miss Moneypenny, My Star Wars Story, Odell Abner Dracula, Odyssey Unleashed, Orbital Comics, Outside Longbox, Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast, Randy Caldwell, Randy Micah Smith, Richard Calvert, Sir Kayak, Snake Oil Comics, Stephen Courtney, who added, anytime, bud, cheers. Superhero Speak, Senate Alias Scarecrow, The Time Traveler at John Titer 973, Top 5 Road Crew, Uproar Comics, and Ziggy at Mr. Jeffrey.
The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
What, for you, I think your dick's probably hard right now, but for the rest of us, it's repulsive.
Wow.
Fucking repugnant to me.
Wow.
Stop it. You're cracking me up.
Dude, that was so uncalled. That was so twisted.
It was just uncalled for. You think it's repugnant, think it's repugnant, but pointing out to fix it that his penis is probably enlarged right now because of talking
because
about
it. The rape of men and stuff, yeah.
Too far. Whoa.
Too far? Okay.
Yeah,
too far.
We don't need to pull the curtain back that far in our conversations.
Well, especially when we're talking about enlarged penises. Let's not pull the curtain back on that.
Keep going.